I wouldn't even chance it. Well, good work. We'll cut down on the cost. I'm just a sociology major, worried about how wide the road is, and the technical guys say it's got to be 12 feet, otherwise you don't have enough to plant. I don't care about that. You've got to be maintaining it. That's added cost considerably.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our City Council meeting on April 28th, 2014. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you being here. As we go through our agenda this evening, as always, if you'd like to speak on an agenda item, we can only speak on agenda items, but if you'd like to do that, you may do so. And just raise your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll call on you. And please hold your comments, if you would, to 5 minutes so that everyone would have a chance to speak. As we begin our meeting, we'll have council prayer and pledge of allegiance to our flag. Dear Lord, we acknowledge that you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. We humbly come before you, praising your name and thanking you for this day, our community, and those gathered here this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to discuss issues facing our city. We ask for wisdom for the decisions that we will make. We know that we cannot always please everyone, but we do pray that our decisions will be in the best interest of our citizens and in some way improve the quality of life for all. For these things and many other blessings you have given us throughout the year, we give you the praise and the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item of business this evening is the minutes. Consideration of the minutes from the work session of April 8, 2014, the regular meeting of April 14, 2014, and the work session of April 17, 2014. Do we have a motion in a second?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I had several comments, and Mr. Pierce and I have already covered most of these that affect. The main thing is the discussion we had on FEMA. I don't know if I've given a copy of this. I don't know if I need to read it out or not. It'll be in the minutes so Ms. Sarah has a copy of it.
Okay.
And I can, so everybody has a copy that we can do that. These are my comments and questions, and Mr. Pierce and I have covered most of it.
And I do have the copies of the cards from the folks from the South Carolina Emergency Management Division with their contact information if anybody needs that.
So I move that with these comments, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
A second.
Second. All right. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. On the presentations this evening, we're fortunate to have two. And the first is a proclamation honoring the USC Aiken men's basketball team.
And Mayor, the athletic director from USC Aiken is here, and I'm sure he's going to come up to the microphone and
good.
Introduce everybody to us. But we have another special guest with us here tonight, and that's the chancellor of USC Aiken, Sandra Jordan.
Right.
Who's with us? Randy, can you come up?
All right. I'm going to move down over here and read a proclamation that we have. Randy, you can join me if you would, please.
Chancellor, would you?
Yes. Join us too? Chancellor Jordan.
That's hardly a burrow, that's for sure.
What's that?
And Vince Alexander's with us too, Mayor, the coach of the Pacer basketball team.
Where's Coach?
He's about fourth row back in the humble section.
Whereas the University of South Carolina, Aiken, is an integral part of our Aiken community, whereas the University of South Carolina, Aiken Athletic Department is an integral part of what defines the outstanding comprehensive academic institution, and whereas the USC Aiken men's basketball team has provided not only great publicity for the university and the community, but it also has provided outstanding entertainment, most recently by making history by winning the Southeast Region title, propelling them to the Final Four of the NCAA. Division II, National Basketball Tournament for the first time in the university's 50-year-plus history. Whereas Aiken community representatives wish to congratulate this history-making team who have set a record of 34 wins this year and congratulate head coach Vince Alexander, who was selected the Peach Bowl Coach Conference Coach of the Year and the Southeast Regional Coach of the Year. Now, therefore, we, the Aiken City Council, hereby declares April 28th through May 2nd, 2014, as USC Aiken Men's Basketball Team Week in the Aiken community, and urge all of our citizens to support the USCA Men's Basketball Team in efforts to continue to excel in their sport. With me, this hand and seal, City of Aiken, 28th day, April 2014. And by council.
Foremost, I'd just like to thank the community of Aiken because it is, you know, the best city to play Division II basketball in, or to play basketball anywhere. We have been blessed to be the winningest team in South Carolina. And, you know, we're very happy to have accomplished that. And we, you know, we have plans to continue to provide great basketball for the community of Aiken. And just thank you for your support and hope that you'll continue to come out and support us. It's a tremendous group of guys. I'd like to start with our assistant coaches, Coach Ryan Schrader, Coach Carlos Collazo, and Coach Mike Prandy. Three of our seniors couldn't be here because they had to attend an event. At the university, they're getting ready to graduate, and they have to have so many events in, and so they couldn't be here. Devontae Wright, Rick Alderman, and Derek Scott could not be here tonight, but I know that they would be grateful for this opportunity to be here and to be presented with this proclamation. I'll just start right here on the end. Come up as I call your name: Santuan Butler, Jesse Solomon, Kenley Branch, Paul Lawson, Ron Zimmerman, Grant Harris, Hendrix Emu, Shane Porche, and Alvin Brown.
Well, on behalf of the university and, of course, our team, I want to say thank you to the City Council for making this happen, and we appreciate the proclamation, Mayor, very much. I do want to mention to all of you something that happened to me for the very first time in my 30 years in higher education. And it was told to me as a secret, and so far I've not kept it a secret, so I think you'll understand why when I tell you. I had some NCAA officials, these guys have heard this because I've been bragging on them so much. I had some NCAA officials who came to me and said, Dr. Jordan, we'd like to come and talk to you in your office. Well, that's not something you want to hear. Sure, come on by, you know, and made time for them. They came in, they closed the door. And I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. You know, NCAA is going to come up with some new rules and they're going to roll them out right here. That's not at all what they wanted to say. They wanted to tell me in person how much respect they had for these young men and our coaching team. They said, you know, we're not supposed to say this, but these guys are our favorites. You know, they are respectful of the referees. They're team leaders in this team. They respect each other. They support each other. And that's what basketball is supposed to be about, building character, building new leaders. And we just wanted to tell you we're rooting for y'all. We hope you go up to the all-conference because we want to travel with them. That's the group we want to travel with. So that's a great compliment. Thank you. That's a great compliment to these young men who are leaders, who are scholars, and who are great athletes on the court. And I want to mention just one thing about our coach. We have a terrific coaching staff, but Coach Alexander has won Coach of the Year four times, including the last 3 years running. And the day after we got back in town from the Final Four, the Elite Eight and the Final Four, I called the athletic director and I said, I need to talk to Coach. You know, where is he? He said, Sandra, last time I saw him, he was out making sure these young men are in their classes. That is the right spirit. The combination of understanding that these young men are here to go to college and to complete a degree while they're also performing so beautifully as athletes. So we could not be prouder of all of you. And I just want to say before I go, Coach, where are you going to be next year?
Everybody.
Poland's in the back.
That's the whole thing.
Thank you. Hey, Fred, you shrunk.
Mayor, before we go any further, I have someone that I'd like to introduce that's relatively new to Aiken and first time here at the City Council. Been telling me that he's coming and he's a part of Leadership Aiken now, and that's one of my ministers, Craig Middleton from Aiken Church of Christ. Please stand.
Thank you, sir, for being with us. All right, where's my...
This is the next one.
Yeah, got it. We have another proclamation declaring Lupus Awareness Month. Is Jade here?
She's here.
Yes.
In the back row.
Oh, in the back row.
Back in the humble seats again, ma'am.
Okay, meet me over here, would you?
There's a great article in the Aiken Standard newspaper today about your efforts.
I'd like to read the proclamation for Lupus Awareness Month. Whereas lupus is a chronic autoimmune disease that can damage any part of the body, when autoimmune system believes producing antibodies to cells within body is necessary, leading to widespread inflammation and tissue damage because this part of the body fights off virus, bacteria, and germs that are not there. Whereas approximately 1.5 million people in the United States are living with lupus, 90% of the people diagnosed with disease are women in childbearing years, and as many as 1 in 250 people may develop lupus. And whereas the city of Aiken calls attention to the need for people locally and across South Carolina to unite in support of individuals, families, friends, and communities affected by the disease, to renew our commitment to finding a cure and improving their well-being and quality of life. Whereas we support Crowning Lupus LLC by participating in and promoting the observance of the 2014 theme, Give Lupus Royal Treatment. And whereas Lupus Awareness Month encourages all citizens to learn about lupus and the four different types: systemic lupus, erythematosus, discoid lupus, drug-induced lupus, and neonatal lupus, which an infant eventually grows out of, and to work together to raise awareness of this silent epidemic and treatment of lupus among the residents of the Aiken community. Now, therefore, I, Frederick Kavanaugh, Mayor of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, and Council, do hereby proclaim May 2014 as Lupus Awareness Month, and Saturday, May 3rd, 2014, as the first lupus walk in the city of Aiken, and urge our citizens to recognize and participate in these observances. And thank you.
Thank you.
And we want everybody to come out for that walk, don't we?
Yes, I will.
This coming Saturday, if you can.
Thank you.
Say thank you, Mayor Kavanaugh, and City Council members, not only for recognizing this month, and not only for me being a survivor of 10 years, but so many other survivors out there. Lupus is a silent epidemic, as we stated, and there are so many individuals who are diagnosed and undiagnosed. And now, with this proclamation, we can all raise our heads high and continue doing the thing that I love to state so well: run lupus, don't let it run you.
Thank you.
And you will be wearing this Run Lupus Out of Here shirt at the walk this Saturday.
Absolutely. I want everybody to come.
Thank you.
Your own shirt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jade, we thank you for the tremendous job you did in putting this walk together. We hope it's not the last walk, just the first walk, that it becomes an annual event. We know it's been a lot of hard work, and I've seen you through the years fight this thing. You are definitely a warrior, and we appreciate you so much, and your coordinator, Valise Cummins. And I'll see you Saturday, because I'm a survivor.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Under old business now is item number one, discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees.
We don't have anyone to vote on, a nomination to vote on tonight, Mayor. We just wanted to open it up to council for any nominations.
Right. Do we have some nominations for our next meeting?
I'd like to nominate Laverne Justice for the Arts Commission.
Okay. Any others? I have one, Mr. William Price, to the Senior Commission. This is a reappointment. And are there any others? Okay. If not, that's me. I'm sorry about that. I'm hitting this mic. Those will appear on our agenda for next week. Item 2, first reading and an ordinance to rescind ordinance 04272009A regarding leased properties in Crossland Park owned by the City of Aiken. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to rescind ordinance number 04272009A. That ordinance was an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to lease houses in Crossman Park pending their sale to nonprofit organizations. We had some discussion at the last meeting about this particular ordinance. My understanding, and the city attorney can speak up at any time, but my understanding is the purpose of this ordinance is that once existing tenants in Crossland Park homes are no longer tenants, as I understand the effect of the ordinance, Mr. Smith, then the city would not go out and actively seek a new tenant for that house.
And the city would also go ahead and let the Community Development Investment Corporation know not to be actively seeking tenants once these tenants vacate the premises.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, yes. I would like to move that we suspend the rules and discuss this item, please.
Okay.
Second.
Have a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
If I could, and I brought this up, and I've done some discussions with a number of the council people, and Mr. Pierce and I discussed this earlier. And I think what we need to look at doing is have an annual follow-up to last year's meeting that we had out in the area. And the reason I say that, last time we had a lot of discussion over just these four rent houses. There's actually seven items that I think will make good agenda items, and I'll list them here. And then that would be my proposal, is that we continue this item, and then when we get to the $328,000 loan to grant request from Aiken Corp, we continue it also. This is, and I don't know whether it's a continuation, Mr. City Attorney will have to tell us, because continue it till we have a meeting or that we just cancel it. But these are the items that I think we need to bring together and get our arms around. We need to talk about, and this would be in a June or July meeting, very similar to what we had last year out there, except we would get down and talk about specific houses and stuff that's actually on the record that the city owns. Mm-hmm. The first item would be talk about the Crossland Park rented houses, which is what's before us now. We'd talk about the lease-to-own house. We would talk about how to best use the $328,000 loan from the city to Aiken Corp. We would talk about the roughly $255,000 of CPST 3 money that will be left over from the north side redevelopment once we pay off that loan. We'd talk about the Edgewood drainage, which Mr. James talked about last time. We do have some a quotation on housings from a vendor about building new houses on the north side. And then we would need to just talk about, do we need a comprehensive land plan, a comprehensive housing plan for both areas? And it appears to me, in this conversation with others, we need to get our arms around this and say, what is our 5 and 10 year plan? We've done a lot of good work out there. So this would be my proposal, and I don't know if that needs to become a motion or how do we do that, but that would be up for discussion for the rest of you to see if that's the right thing to do, if there's somebody else with a, you know, a different proposal.
Any comments on that? Sounds like a good proposal to me.
I think that would get put all of our housing things together. And we had a good discussion last year in general. There's been some good cleanup done and some things done out there, and this would put it get us down to talking about real property, so to speak. So
the only thing, why do you connect this one with the 328?
Right now it's designated for housing, and I think I'd have to read it, but I think it's designated specifically for Crossland Park now.
Yeah.
And so that becomes part of the pool of money that we have available that's designated for that area. We have two specific things right now, that and the Capital Project 3 money that is, I don't know the exact word, it says something like North Side Revitalization.
It is more North Side. It's not specific particular subdivision.
But we're using $1.5 million or just a little bit less than that to pay off the loan that's from the Sewer and Water Fund, and then that leaves $255,000 to discuss. And notice I included Crossland Park, Edgewood, but it can need to do the whole thing. So that's what I would propose we do and get down into the little more detail.
Is that a motion? Is that your motion?
Let me just make a comment. I'm not sure I agree that $328,000 is designated to Crossland Park. It sounds like that's what you want to do.
I think it's North Side.
You're right, Mr. Dwyer. It's not designated.
It's North Side.
Yes. It's a housing.
It's just a housing pot of money. That's all it is. Not designated for anything. It's an outstanding loan from the city to the Aiken Corp. for callable in 2 years.
That's why I asked the question about
Let me read the first paragraph, and this is moving ahead to the item. It's about three out of now. Whereas Aiken Corporation has purchased and renovated residence Crossland Park and has helped to build new homes in Edgewood section of the city, as well as continued its loan program for builders and developers to renovate homes on the north side of the city. So it's north side. And that's in the first paragraph, which was passed back in 2010 or 11. But I think it'd be good to get all of this together, and the leases and all of that. There's a pretty good package of information that the staff would need to put together for that discussion. So, and when we get to the agenda item from Aiken Corp, what I would propose to do is continue that item until then also.
Okay. All right. Do we have your motion, Reggie?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll say we got to come out of the...
I don't think we have to vote out a discussion, do we?
We can just make a motion, can't we, Mr. City Attorney?
Well, I guess the only thing I'm confused about is I'm not understanding. I understand you want council to receive annual updates on these seven items that you set forth. I don't understand what you want to happen to the particular ordinance that is actually before council right now.
I'd like it to go away.
He wants to table.
Table it or just...
I think it's either table or go away, because once we have that meeting, it's not going to read what we have here now, I can assure you. So do we table it and then it dies? Is that what we have to do?
Do we have a sense of how soon the meeting could be held, or we would want to hold a meeting?
I guess June would have...
I don't mean to interrupt, but to answer your question, you've got on the agenda to have, as council normally does not meet on Memorial Day, mm-hmm. one meeting in May. Now you have two meetings in June. You have a single meeting in July and August. So we can schedule the council's convention.
Well, I think we ought to table it then until we can have the meeting rather than continue. Continue to me means we're going to talk about it the next meeting or the meeting after that, and that's not the case.
And we need to table it.
I think we table it.
When you were the one that requested this ordinance.
Yes.
If at this point you're okay just saying, I don't want the ordinance, then we can move to just dismiss the ordinance.
That's correct. From the discussion last time, the ordinance wasn't very well received.
Dismiss it or table it?
Dismiss or table?
Yeah.
I think it's dismissed, because if you change the verbiage at all, then it's a new issue. Isn't that right?
I'll ask the city attorney.
The seven items that you've now given to the city manager that you want him to update you on, I think he understands the council wants an update on those seven items. He's going to bring that back to you at another time for appropriate action.
Right.
So you're really not taking any action on these seven items right now. You're just asking for information in the future.
Correct.
And so really the motion is to not pass this ordinance on first reading, and it will go away.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we not pass this ordinance on first reading.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, all in favor of that? Okay. That passes.
Thank you.
Unanimously. Item 3, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to amend the FY 2013-14 budget to approve a contract for chipping winter storm packs debris. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014. This specifically goes to the bid that we awarded for chipping. The apparent low bid was American Environmental at $1.84 per cubic yard. In my memo, I updated the cubic yards to that was collected so far. And since I drafted the memo, we've also heard from FEMA with an estimated amount of debris that our citizens have brought in through self-help, as we called it. That was 19,630 cubic yards. As of Friday, April 25th, we had collected 117,177.79 cubic yards. We estimate over the next couple of weeks we can collect as much as 10,000 cubic yards more. So in actuality, the potential that we would spend for chipping based on those numbers would be estimated at $270,124.88. Of course, that is subject to the 75% reimbursement rate from FEMA plus any reimbursement that the state winds up performing. So we would ask that the on second reading that the ordinance be amended to spend up to $270,124.88.
Is that a not to exceed, or what is the difference in spend up to and not to exceed?
Okay.
And do you think that'll cover all of it?
We certainly think that it will. If it doesn't, of course, we can come back again.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a motion and a second for approval?
I guess we need to know what to say. Mr. City Attorney, can you help us with the new word?
I think he was just asking for approval for up to
$270,124.88.
All right, I move that we approve up to $270,124.88 for the chipping of the winter storm packs debris to be performed by this low bidder, American Environmental and Disaster.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, I have two questions. Do we need any DHEC approval for this process to do the chipping?
No, we've had DHEC involved through the entire process as far as the site selection for the temporary storage area. We've been working with FEMA representatives as far as the chipping goes.
Where would we be doing the chipping?
On site.
On the Centennial Citizens Park?
And Powderhouse, yes.
Okay. So DHEC is okay with us chipping and on those locations?
Yes.
Okay.
We haven't heard otherwise. Commence the work, we'll make sure that there is no DHEC issue. But they're doing chipping all around us.
I understand. Okay. If that could be part of the motion with DHEC approval, if it's required. If it's not required, not a problem.
We'll certainly, how about if we say it this way, that we'll notify DHEC that we're proceeding with the chip.
If DHEC approval is required, they won't let them do it.
Yeah. We'll notify them.
As a practical matter.
I understand.
let me start with a question regarding the shipping. We will get this chip, and then someone else will haul it off. Is that what you...
Yes, and actually the hauling contract is on first reading for an ordinance.
Okay, I have no further questions.
We have, okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimous. And new business, first item is first reading of an ordinance to annex property. And so, Haleo and Roy Rothman, at 114 Glen Place and zone at RS 15, residential single family. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property owned by Sahalia and Roy Rothermel and to zone the same residential single family RS 15. Up on the screen we have the property location, and you can see by the shading that the property is contiguous to property that's already in the Aiken city limits. This went to the Planning Commission at its regular meeting on April 15. They voted unanimously to recommend approval because the request to annex was consistent with the comprehensive land use plan and the transportation plan adopted by the City of Aiken pursuant to state statute. You approved this unanimously on first reading, so, excuse me, at the April 15th meeting, this is first reading, our new business. This is first reading of the ordinance to annex this property into the city limits.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
Mayor, I'll move we approve first reading of an ordinance to annex 114 Glen Place and zone of residential single family RS 15.
I second.
Okay. Discussion? Both hands. Approval? Passes unanimously. Item 2 under new business, a resolution regarding Hitchcock Parkway, sidewalks, median width, and funding. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The two resolutions are contained in the agenda packet that you have and in my cover memo. I reminded Council of the existing and potential funding that is available for the project. The Transportation Improvement Program has $13 million committed in funds for the Hitchcock Parkway project. The State Infrastructure Bank has committed $9,500,000. We also have in Capital Sales Tax Project 3, $4 million committed towards the transportation plan. And pursuant to a memorandum of agreement between the City of North Augusta, Aiken County, and the City of Aiken for projects that are joint projects, and they were specifically listed. One was the work that the county was going to do at their new county complex building. In North Augusta, there was a project at Martintown Road and Knobcone Avenue, their Palmetto Parkway project. And then for the City of Aiken, there are three projects that are listed. One was the Powder House Road extension or connector, the University Parkway widening project, and then Hitchcock Parkway. This is a $13 million pool of money that will be available for division among these projects. That was actually contained in the $70 million that Aiken County committed towards transportation projects. So we have a resolution in here to request funds for the Hitchcock Parkway project from that $13 million pool. We were provided a figure from SCDOT representatives last week when I drafted the memo that the total project with contingencies is projected to be $34,600,000. As you see from my cover memo, if we request $5 million from the $13 million that Aiken County is holding or will be holding in capital project sales tax funds, that would provide $31,500,000 in funding towards the Hitchcock Parkway widening project. That is the figure that we were provided at the December meeting by DOT, and you have should have at your desk a copy of an email that Mayor Cavanaugh and I received from Randall Young. Randy will be at the arts meeting on Thursday at 4 o'clock at the former Aiken County Council Chambers. Actually, they're going to meet there a couple more times, so it's still the Aiken County Council Chambers. They haven't gotten their furniture at the new location just yet. And you'll see in his email that the projected cost that includes professional engineering was $34.6 million. So that is the projected cost. I'm sorry, I said professional engineering. It's actually the preliminary engineering cost for the project. As you'll see in the email, these are estimates at this point in time, and Mr. Young expresses a concern about going into detail about the project, and I did speak with him by telephone today. He did say that was an appropriate topic for the formal public hearing, which was is scheduled to be held sometime later this year, as far as the detail of whether or not the landscape median should be further narrowed or the sidewalk should be deleted. The other question that a couple members of council had mentioned to me were whether or not the project should be staged. When we were initially looking at the project, there was a projected $16 or $16.5 million cost for the project, and DOT considered that for approximately a halfway point in the project. That would have been from Silver Bluff Road to Huntsman Drive as a phase one, and then for a phase two from Huntsman Drive to then U.S. Highway number one. As Mr. Young outlines in his email, there are some concerns if you go to phasing the project or suspending money on the project. And of course, being cost conscious, council, we had engaged the services of Rick Tool to do a concept for the Hitchcock Parkway project from beginning to end, from Silver Bluff Road all the way to U.S. Highway number one, and the concepts, suggestions for how the project could be narrowed. And I think from his concept that we presented, some time ago, I think that was back in the summer of 2013, if I remember correctly, Mayor, that they, South Carolina DOT, when we had a public information session in December, had shrunk the proposed new right-of-way by about half. Of course, at the public information session, the DOT received several public comments, and what Mr. Young has shared with me is that they did not have public comments that said that the sidewalk should be deleted. They did not have public comments that the landscape median should be further shrunk. And again, from the, I'm just reporting the DOT perspective, if they would see that as appropriate to be raised at the public hearing that's scheduled for latest this year. As far as staging the project, if you divide the project up, there would be some further Federal Highway Administration procedures that would have to be followed. And again, they are proceeding with the project as a capacity project, as we've discussed several times in meetings. And again, I wanted to make Mr. Young aware of the potential council action tonight because of the meeting that we had on Thursday, which of course is a public meeting. Thursday at 4, and they are going to report on the status of the project at the arts meeting. Mr. Young encouraged everyone to participate in the public hearing that would be later this year, because that would actually provide a comment for designs.
I'm sorry about this, but I can't take any requests right now. Please try again in a little while.
Sorry.
In any event, the public hearing is a formal public hearing for comment. It is open to the public, and that would be the appropriate time for, in Mr. Young's view, as far as receiving input regarding cost of the project, whether certain features should be deleted, whether other features could be narrowed. And, of course, we do have Mr. Tool available to make a presentation regarding the findings that they made that council actually reviewed. So for consideration tonight, we actually have two different resolutions. The first is a resolution for council to consider whether a request should go to ARTS to approve a reduced scope for the Hitchcock Parkway project to delete sidewalks, narrow the landscape median, and make other project adjustments to bring the project cost with contingencies to $31,500,000. And then the second resolution would be a resolution from Aiken City Council to Aiken County Council to set aside $5 million in 1 cent capital project sales tax money for the Hitchcock Parkway project as a joint project listed in the capital project sales tax 3 Aiken County portion of funds to be received.
Okay, thank you. One thing I'd like to add, Richard, and I'm not sure, maybe I missed it if you said it, and it's not in this, in the email. However, when I talked to Mr. Young, he advised that we not take any action at this point in time because it's too far away from the time in which they will really know what the cost of the project are. And it's just their normal practice. And so he was hesitant that we do this. Obviously, council is in charge of what they want to do. But he was just saying, hey, the prices might go down here or there, or it might go up. I mean, who knows at this point? But anyway, I just offer that because that's what he said. He thought it was a little premature to make any changes at this point or to...
And yes, sir, if I didn't make that clear in my remarks, again, all of the issues that we're discussing in that first resolution are issues that Mr. Young said would be appropriate for the formal public hearing scheduled for later this year. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, let me make a comment. This item's on the agenda because I asked it be, and I would move that we approve the resolution deleting the sidewalks and narrowing the landscape median, removing the item, make other project adjustments to bring the project cost with contingencies to $31,500,000. I appreciate what Mr. Young is saying, but it just seems rather strange, because if we do what he's saying, then when we get to that point later this year, we're going to be told it's too late. We've already designed this thing. How can we possibly think about it?
There's another opportunity.
Huh?
There's another opportunity later on to make this decision.
I guess I have to say I'm not sure that I believe that, because
okay. Right.
And simply because it's in the design phase right now, and it's going to be in the design phase for quite a while. And it would seem to me to wait until the design is completed and then come to a public meeting and then want to make the change, then we're going to be faced with the added cost of going back and changing the design. I don't know what's involved in that, but obviously it would affect the entire roadway because that's where the sidewalks are going. To say that there wasn't a lot of public comment about sidewalks and the width of the median, while true, is somewhat misleading. The focus at that meeting was, are we going to have four lanes or two? And that's what many of the comments were. If, in fact, we had given everybody a questionnaire and said, do you want four lanes or two? Do you want sidewalks or not? Do you want, how wide a median do you want? I suspect that we would have had a different output. My understanding of the process is that no changes will be made unless they come from this body, and that's what Arch has said very clearly, and so I'm not interested in going back to talk about two or four, but I think it's a waste of money, and I can't imagine people using that sidewalk to walk 4 miles on Hitchcock bypass. The bikers barely use it as it is.
And if it's a good idea then, it's a good idea now. I don't see that there's any good reason to wait to make this decision. If council determines, as a majority, if council determines that we do want to narrow that, or we do want to eliminate the sidewalks, then it only makes sense to go ahead and give them that guidance. Otherwise, you know, like you said, it ends up wasting time. And if it's a good idea then, it's a good idea now. Why not go ahead and make
that decision? With regard to the median, I don't understand... I don't understand why a 12-foot median is required to make it look like a parkway. I'm a sociology major, not an engineer, but 12-foot, that's pretty wide. That's an 80-foot road right now.
Isn't it 14 feet right now?
It's a total of 80.
No, they narrowed it to 12.
It's a 12-foot median right now, and with a 12-foot median, that's an 80-foot width, and that's 40 feet from the median. I mean, that's getting awfully close to fences and so forth that are along that road. Now, I can't tell you what I think a good median width is. I can only say that I'm not sure that 12 is narrow enough. I mean, we could certainly plant things in a 3-foot median.
We've done it, Mr. Dewar. You're absolutely right. On Highway 1, between the Walmart and the Sam's Wholesale Club, you can see there's a varying width all down through there. Yes, sir.
And my additional comment is, just because we pass this resolution doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's still up to the Arts Commission to make the final decision. But I'm not in favor, quite honestly, of waiting until the project's completely designed and then coming in and saying, hey, let's not do the sidewalks. And that would cost, to my way of thinking, that would cost a lot more money than if we make our desires known now. So that's my motion. I don't know what to say about the resolution regarding asking money from the county. I mean, if that's premature, then we can leave that.
I've got some questions about that. Go ahead, Steve.
Can we get a second to the motion first?
Yeah. Well, was a there second. A motion?
Do we have a second?
We made a motion.
Oh.
We got a second?
Yeah, do you want me to repeat it?
But that was with respect to just the first resolution.
I move that we approve the resolution deleting sidewalks, narrowing the landscape median, but removing the comment, make other project adjustments to bring the project cost with contingencies to $31,500,000. That takes care of the first resolution. I'm quite frankly open to the second resolution, and I'll leave that to other members of council if they want to move
before
separately.
Before somebody
on that.
Seconds it. Seems like one of the discussions we had. Did you second it?
Did you second it? Oh, I did, yes. But, I mean, go ahead.
Okay.
That doesn't mean you can't discuss it.
Well, one of the things seems like back about a year and a half ago, somebody said the Federal Highway Administration would require that we either have sidewalks or exercise bike trails, otherwise they wouldn't fund the whole project. So, was that just a SDOT or SCDOT telling us the wrong information or what?
No, they told you the right information, and in fact, I think there's some audience members that wanted to address council about that particular issue.
Sure.
But it is a requirement that it be included unless there's a finding for a reason not to include it. And of course, we've adopted a pedestrian pathway, bike pathway plan.
Yeah,
to include it in public property.
But if we go along with what Dick is proposing, can we actually justify it to maintain federal highway monies?
If we present this as a resolution, and SCDOT says it would prevent us from having access to this money, I would expect them to turn around and tell us that. But if we present this as a resolution, the ball's in their court to give us that information.
I can, Mr. Mayor, I can give you the background of what was done on Silver Bluff when these topics came up, very same topics there. What they did there, and I'm assuming the procedures are the same, at the time council voted to not have a 5-lane and all of that kind of stuff and no sidewalk. And then SCDOT went back through all of the, I'll use the word red tape, to eliminate the sidewalks, and we had some other little miscellaneous things in there. And the federal administration approved that, so we did get our money on Silver Bluff. And, of course, that project is moving forward. And that's how it got done, for eliminating the five lanes with a median and turning lanes on Silver Bluff plus the sidewalks. And also eliminated a lot of land procurement. And so that gives you, if that's any help to anybody, that's what has been done. Now, I don't know if that's the same here, but I would assume it'd be the same. They'd have to go back and ask for permission to do it to get highway funding.
Source of the money, source of the funding the same? The specification of the money is different, though, but.
Yeah.
There are federal funds in the project. I think
there
are federal funds in the project, so that's why that requirement is not.
Right. Yeah.
And that's that. That's $13 million.
But he's saying that on Silver Bluff, it was able to be still get the federal funds even without the sidewalks.
They approved the removal of the median and everything on Silver Bluff. The Federal Highway Administration approved it, and we got federal funding with based on the recommendations of City Council at the time, and that was 2007 or 8 or something.
Somewhere in there, but there was, I think, a specific finding as to why that could be appropriately.
The state has to agree with us and write it up that way. If they don't agree with us, you're going to have.
I don't see the parallel between Hitchcock and Silver Bluff.
There is a we change. The feature's the same.
No, it isn't. We change the purpose and need on Silver Bluff. We're not changing the purpose and need here. All we're saying is no sidewalks and narrow the median. So there's a world of difference. Now, it's not to say that this is going to get approved, but I certainly think we ought to make the effort, because 4 miles of cement sidewalks on both sides is just, to me, personally, not acceptable.
That's a couple million dollars worth of cement.
And I think had the people been asked to vote on it, I think it would have been a hands-down no, we don't want sidewalks.
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Okay, Tom, come on.
While Tom is coming up, some of this deals with connectors in terms of bike pathway connectors. And I believe that this is the only portion, as you look at the circumference around our city, that does not connect in terms of having a pathway. I'm not a biker, I don't ride, and no one in my family rides. But I recognize that there are others that do. And I'm hearing of cities that have an appreciation for these kinds of pathway and attract young professionals. So we have to determine what we want to be like, whether we want to go with the Leslie Prices of the world that I don't have an appreciation for a bike pathway, and I don't want one, or do we want to bring in folks that will bring in some young things that will bring in young professionals who have an appreciation for this. And that's my information.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, my name is Tom Wetz. I'm a resident of the city of Aiken, but I am also chairman of the Aiken County Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee. We have been following this project very closely, primarily because we do have a county bicycle pedestrian plan. And in November 2012, this city council unanimously passed a resolution endorsing that bicycle pedestrian plan. That bicycle pedestrian plan includes provisions for biking and walking on Hitchcock Parkway, if and when that ever turned into a project. You made the point about Silver Bluff. Silver Bluff went through before we had the bike ped plan. I battle Silver Bluff every day on my bike, and we did not get bike lanes. We don't have sidewalks. That doesn't say that's the way we should continue if we are really serious about becoming bicycle and walking friendly. And I believe in the city strategic plan, there is some verbiage in there that said we have a vision of becoming bicycle and walking friendly. So I think the resolution as worded right now, saying take out sidewalks, that implies, because right now there's no multi-purpose path, there are going to be sidewalks. Currently, the plan doesn't even include designated bike lanes. The SCDOT was assuming, because they were going to have 5-foot sidewalks on either side, that they were essentially going to be multi-purpose, so walkers and cyclists could make use of that. So the resolution is stated saying taking sidewalks out, you've just eliminated people riding bikes or trying to walk. You mentioned people don't ride bikes on Hitchcock Parkway today. The reason they don't, there's no shoulder, and you're going to get run over. I'll ride just about anything, but there's a lot of people in the community who use bikes as transportation. They walk for transportation. We have just closed the door on that opportunity for them. We have eliminated the concept of complete streets, where people who are users should be able to use the streets, whether they're driving a motor vehicle, riding a bicycle, or being able to walk. And I think as a city, we need to have vision and realize that there are plenty of communities in South Carolina and across this country that have recognized the benefits of being bicycle and walking friendly, and they have derived economic benefits, health benefits, and an overall improvement in the quality of life in those communities. And so today, to eliminate that is short-sighted and lacks vision. Thank you.
Whoa. We don't have bike paths now in the current design. Does that bother you?
Yes, it bothers me because, and you mentioned there were no comments made. Comments were made on the design.
I even gave
DOT options on how to stay within the existing footprint, reduce the size of the sidewalks, reduce the dimensions on the gutter line, and still allow a minimum 3-foot wide bike lane on each side, and they would have stayed within the envelope they presented. That wasn't even going after, I don't disagree with that, the median could be reduced. But we should not do anything that eliminates the option for biking and walking.
Well, if you get a 5-foot wide sidewalk, you're happy, okay, riding on a sidewalk?
Well, currently the city of Aiken laws allow cyclists on a sidewalk that parallels a roadway that has a speed limit of 35 or over. So in that sense, we'd be able to ride that sidewalk.
Well, Kevin Gant, who's no longer involved in the project, but did indicate to me that even if sidewalks are eliminated, they still need to use the space that the sidewalks would have taken up.
That's right.
And I don't recall the nature of the ground, what they would do to it. And I don't know whether it would be suitable for biking or not. That's certainly a question that we can raise at ARTS.
That side would be a planted shoulder, but it's still needed for stormwater piping and whatnot to the outside of both sides of the road.
If it's not paved, it's not going to be usable for a cyclist. So I think the resolution, I understand what you're trying to do, but the resolution is worded would, leave too many opportunities to just totally eliminate that from future consideration. And once again, I also want to say, anytime you have a new project like this, that's the time to put this type of infrastructure in. There's no way that we can go in with an existing street and all of a sudden say, well, we want to now put in, it's too narrow to put bike lanes in, or it's too narrow to put sidewalks in. The right-of-way is already there. If we don't do it on a new project, then we're not going to do it anywhere.
All right,
we ought to quit advertising that we're really trying to become biking and walking friendly.
Well, I understand, but there is a limit to the amount of land that's available. I'm told now that the project is being moved away from Hitchcock Woods for whatever reason, so I don't know how far away, and I haven't seen a design to see how that's going to be laid out. But we're talking 80 feet. I mean, 80 feet is a lot of land.
Granted, but so don't word a resolution that says take sidewalks and by inference take out bicycle facilities. Let's find another way. But don't
Tell me the other way, please. Is that 7? That's 10 feet. There's 5 feet sidewalks on both sides, and we get the 12-foot median, and then we get the 13 to 14 foot width for the lanes. Tell me another way.
Well, for one thing, they can look at reducing lane width. If they're going to give us sidewalks and they're going to give us bike paths, I mean, then they can look at instead of the inside lane being 14 foot, cut that down. They also have some, based on speed limits, they also have options on reducing lane width.
Well, we lowered the speed limit from 55 to 45 in an effort to narrow it, and that apparently worked because at 55 would even have to be wider than the current 80 foot.
Well, we had proposed.
I appreciate what you're saying with the bike lanes, but I'm trying to fight for a parkway look. And honestly, when I'm at Hounds Lake Boulevard looking up towards Huntsman,
one option,
and I see sidewalks on both sides, that's not a parkway.
One option to consider instead of sidewalks on both sides and bike lanes, put in there a multi-use path. On one side, a multi-use path that way people can walk and people can ride their bikes and they still have that as a route. The ultimate vision of the bicycle pedestrian plan, think of it as a spoken wheel arrangement. The idea of getting people who are willing to get on their bikes and come into Aiken and not get in their car. Right now, we do not have good routes. So by having routes around the city and then into the city, we're going to do more to encourage people who are unwilling to get on their bikes today because they don't want to take their life in their hands. They're not hardcore riders. There are those of us that will ride anything. There are a lot of other people. You got to think of it. Am I willing to take my 8-year-old child out on a bike with me? Right now, we don't have anywhere in town. Yeah, riding the parkways, you can do that, you know, here in town. But people want to get into town, and they don't have good ways to get in where they can get their 8-year-old on a bike with them and ride into town.
Well, I mean, I could live with something on one side, depending on the width.
Well, the issue with sidewalks is not anything to do with the width, because you still have to have that shoulder and the storm sewer drainage. It doesn't change the width of space that they're going to need.
It changes
for
the look,
but it changes the cost. They estimated about $2 million for the cost of these of sidewalks on both sides of this. And you know, that's why I wanted to talk about the second resolution. That's where my concerns, that's one of the areas that my concerns lie, because just in less than a year since we've been talking about this, this thing's jumped from a $24 million project according to DOT to a $34 million project according to DOT. And somehow, you know, as I had asked about county contributions just a few months ago, I was told we might get $2 million from the county, and now suddenly we're dreaming of $5 million. You know, I don't think yet we can count on either one. So, you know, the cost is a concern to me. And sidewalks certainly, you know, I used to be quite a cyclist and rode the roads all over Aiken, but I didn't ride from one highly hazardous intersection to another. You know, you got to think about, because I agree with the idea of wanting pathways and give people the option of riding bikes on it, but really Hitchcock Parkway is going to take somebody from Highway 1 and the mass traffic that you've got there to the intersection at Pine Log and Silver Bluff and all the mass traffic that you've got there. That's not an ideal area for recreational cycling. I mean, I used to do it, and I wouldn't have used that space myself.
Let me correct you on that. It connects you with 421. 421 is an ideal road to ride on.
Right.
A lot of people do it. So you connect 421 Hitchcock Parkway, and it gets you in over towards Odell.
But you've got to get there somehow, and you're going through all these.
But that's
these
the whole idea of the bike ride plan. We've laid that out in there, and you have to start somewhere. So if you don't start at Hitchcock, where are you going to start? Hitchcock is a new project, new infrastructure. Now's the time to do it. If you don't do it there, then you say, well, maybe we'll get it the next time. Well, now you have another new project, and you don't do it there. So we never get there. You got to take the first step. Now, we've made recommendations on some of the in-town streets where to put bike lanes because there are some options. But Hitchcock is a new project, and now is the opportunity to take that first step.
I don't know that we have carefully looked at cities that have bike pathways that are working effectively. Isle of Palms, for example, if you're headed here to Isle of Palms, they have the dual lanes where you've got the bike pathway and the walking area on one side, not on both sides. That seems to be effective. I'm told North Augusta has something that is good. So I don't know that we've looked at all those cities.
Greenville has made giant strides. But, I mean, outside the state, I mean, you can go to places, small towns that I've been in Colorado that are the size of Aiken, and they have got bike paths and bike lanes, and they cater to having people get outdoors and get exercise. I mean, what better thing is there for improved quality of life for our residents is to start giving them that opportunity.
And promoting a healthy city.
Exactly.
We're spoiled with our cars. I am.
Well, I drive a car too. I'm not saying get rid of cars, but you have to. You know, it's nice to have options and give people options.
And what I recognize personally is the fact that we're trying to attract young professionals, young families who want these kinds of things, and we're not affording them these things to attract them to this community.
Right. If we were to do what you wanted, what would the wording of it say? Given we get rid of the sidewalks, now you want your bike lane, how would you word it for this body to tell Arts that we want a bike lane?
You know, multiple purposes.
I would like to rather just do it off the top of my head. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the cost down. And the wording would be something to the effect of, you know, don't have sidewalks on both sides, or have sidewalk only from Huntsman to Silver Bluff or something like that, but leave provisions in there for a multi-use path so people can still walk and cycle the full length of Hitchcock. And that eliminates sidewalks on both sides, the whole length of Hitchcock Parkway.
Would you be satisfied with a multi-use path on one side?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's what's on the Robert M. Bell Parkway, if I recall.
Right.
Yes. I have no objection to modifying the motion to add that. Again, it's in my view on the sidewalks is, yes, I love saving money, but my primary focus is I want it to be a parkway. And 4 miles of sidewalks on two sides does not a parkway make.
One problem with that, I mean, because we went down this road with Kevin Gant a year ago, and the problem with that, the reason we told him to take out the multi-use was because we were trying to narrow the typical cross-section of this because of how much it encroached on private property. And so we eliminated so much, and we left the sidewalks in because that space was going to be used anyway for storm sewer piping. That we eliminated the multi-use lane. I mean, I'd love to have it. I mean, if it was just a matter of snapping my fingers, I'd say, man, let's do it. But, you know, we're fighting the battle of limited space, you know, limited money, limited everything else. So that's why we had taken it out the first time. I don't think anybody really just did it out of lack of concern for cyclists.
If you really want to see an example of foot traffic, look at Highway 19. A lot of those folks are on foot traffic because they have no automobiles.
Right.
And traffic is going 55 miles an hour on that highway. But children and others, adults, are walking on that highway. They're very close to the road, but it's fast traffic. But they have no convenience of automobiles, and they are in an income bracket, and they can't afford it.
Right.
Tom, you're doing a good job with the group. You really are.
Thanks, Tom.
I think your motion is okay just to kind of put ARTS on notice and South Carolina DOT, but I still want to make sure there's no consequences of losing finances. You know, we got $5 million in here that the county's going to give us. I think the last time we met, we were talking about the capital project sales tax is not coming in on schedule. So how much do we reduce that $5 million? You know, like you say, how much are we going to reduce that by? You know, we just can't really afford to do it ourselves. We need the federal funding and the state funding. So
you do.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
Your motion has to be bounced up against making sure, or at least exploring, that we can get that funding. Reggie says, well, we'll probably get it, but, you know.
Well,
I've had too many checks in the mail.
My motion saves money, reduces costs. And it could be a reduced cost of narrowing the median as well. So.
Narrow the median and keep your total typical cross section the same. You can get that multi-use lane back. You don't narrow the cross section, the typical, which means you can't reduce the risk of encroachment on private property. But you can get that if you value that multi-use lane more, then you get that back by narrowing the median.
Can you amend that to include the multi-use pathway?
I would be willing to amend that, to amend my motion to add a multi-use path.
I'd accept them.
On one side, I'm sorry.
Has everyone read this email?
Yes.
From Randall Young.
We just got when we came in.
Yeah.
That was my second question, Mr. Mayor. Would you explain the thing that was addressed to you on the second paragraph, the one sentence that says secondly? What does that mean? Down on the bottom. Well, Richard, you can step.
Richard and I both talked to him at different times.
What does that mean?
Right. Again, without the cost containment, there's an unfunded phase. If they're thinking that the total project including the preliminary engineering, is 34.6. There is potential funding, but I can't imagine that, for example, Aiken County Council, out of the $13 million, would commit $8 million to this project. Now, council can certainly ask for it, but that would virtually eat up the entire pot of money. So,
well,
with the $5 million request, then you would have funding for the project. So that would not be a consideration.
Have the public comments, Mr. Mayor?
I do.
Coming from the public?
Oh, I'm certainly we can't have. Come on up. While you're coming, let me just look at that second paragraph, Steve, that you mentioned.
Yeah.
The last couple of lines. Just again, SCDOT recommends allowing the current design and standards to be. I'm up here. I'm sorry. The current design standards to be completed and properly vetted through public hearing for the stakeholders to review before making any major changes to the project. And again, he says he thinks it's a little bit early to start saying what you want here because we'll have an opportunity later on to do that in an open meeting, in a more open meeting, you know. So,
Mr. Mayor, that raises the question about, you know, we talk about current design. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I've seen a different design from 2 years to today.
Well, it makes a
difference.
The cross section looks the same to me. I mean, you know, they fiddle around with the.
We probably haven't seen the latest because they have come away from Hitchcock Woods a little bit. Now, I don't know whether that just means they went over the other way or did they take some of that, too, but I think it's still 80 feet.
Well, his statement here perfectly supports Dick's point earlier. He says that if we try to change it now, that it's just going to delay the work and cost more money. Well, if we change the design now and it's going to delay the project and cost more money, then waiting to delay it later is going to cost delay it even longer and cost even more.
Yeah, that's my thought.
He's made Dick's point for him.
Well, he may be saying also that without saying it that there'll probably be some other changes we may want later on. So why don't you wait? We'll have the opportunity. There's no question about that.
Well, you know, the last word we got from Kevin Gant while he was still involved in this, they take their direction from Arts. Now, to my understanding, Arts has not given South Carolina DOT any different instructions.
No.
The meeting today, I think we're supposed to give Arts some instructions so they can talk to South Carolina DOT. Isn't that the whole idea?
If there's a change to the project.
Yes.
Otherwise, if we don't make a change, if we don't adopt or if we don't come up with some kind of a new concept or a new visualization of how we're going to use that 80 feet, they're just going to bring out the old stuff from 2 years ago, and everybody's going to go nod like a bunch of elephants, and that's it.
Who's going to do that, Steve?
South Carolina DOT.
They've already said they're making changes as they go. They're still investigating a lot of things, which we don't understand because we're not up there, but there's a lot to be done.
Oh, I understand.
And they're saying,
that.
Let's wait.
But they're waiting for Arts to give them direction, and right now Arts has not given them any different direction than what they had.
And they're probably not going to.
Well, that's my question, is about Arts.
Okay.
And I'm going to... I'm Sandy Harris. I live in Fox Chase, so that Huntsman Drive to the Hitchcock Parkway is my only access, egress to anything. I have a memorandum in front of me that was from the City of Aiken, dated November 11th, 2013, to ARC subcommittee members. The ARC subcommittee met on November 7th, and present, I believe Richard Pierce was there, but I don't believe Dick DeWar or Fred Cavanaugh were there to give ARCs any direction. What this memorandum says is a motion that Leslie Price made and council adopted said that the membership of ARCs be advised that there were strong concerns expressed by citizens present at the October 28th Aiken City Council meeting, that this project concept be based on purpose and need approach versus the current method being used in preparing these concepts.
I want to know if that happened, because if you all were not at that November 7th meeting and the February meeting was canceled, how has Artis been advised by the city council members?
That's the question, isn't it?
Don't understand the question?
There hasn't been any
you
request.
You were there, Richard, I think.
Yeah, there hasn't been any request from any council member to direct Arts to have a different methodology approach for the project. It's based on capacity at this time. Mm-hmm. Purpose and need would be an alternative. And again, I think council's discussed that several times. It was discussed at Arts. And to go back to your original point, Mr. DeWall, at the Arts meeting, if there was to be a change in direction of the methodology for determining the scope of the project, that would have to come from City Council. And that's what DOT is going forward with, a capacity project.
But that's what I'm saying. We've had that guidance to Arts for 2 years. Nothing's changed. A lot of people think the November meeting or the meeting actually gave Arts new direction. They have not.
Well, not
City,
on the
City
not
Council on. Is not giving Arts any new direction.
Because why not?
Where is the new direction? What is it?
Change it to purpose and need. That's what this memorandum says.
I wouldn't like to see that.
It's from. If you signed it. Everybody sitting up here signed it, except Dick DeWar says he opposed this motion. It was a motion that was presented by Leslie Price as the second half of the 45.
I think, Sandy, that motion was, as I recall, to convey the fact that there was significant opposition in the community.
That's right.
For building this, expanding this road based on capacity.
And has that happened?
Yes.
Has that happened? I don't know that it's happened.
Well, you're on the council.
I missed that meeting. If we want to talk about my attendance in 6 years, I'd be more than happy to talk to you. It's about three. I missed that meeting. I don't even recall why, but I was out of town.
And then February was canceled. So no action has been taken.
Well, we can certainly do that on Thursday. We can very clearly tell Arts, no question, that there is strong objection in the community and the city of Aiken for building this road based on capacity. But that's not the... Damon, understand what I just said. All we're going to say is there's strong opposition to building the road based on capacity. That doesn't mean we're changing the purpose and need. That just means we're conveying there is strong opposition in the community, which I think Arts knows, because in every meeting you've made very clear
haven't had a meeting, Dick. They haven't had a meeting.
They haven't had a meeting since February, Steve, but they've been at almost every meeting before that.
Okay.
I have a letter that I wrote to the Department of Transportation, and the answer to that letter comes back and says that the Arts Council will be taking its direction from the City Council.
Yes.
So then the ball, it seems to me, is back in your court to respond to the concerned citizens. Not to just say, we're not going to change this.
The ball's always in our court. I'm not aware that we've ever been asked to vote to change a purpose and need, and that certainly wasn't on the agenda for this meeting. But we've never been asked to change a purpose and need.
How would the citizens go about having that change?
The city manager can address it, but I guess you'd have to ask us to vote.
You'd have to get the city council to agree to that.
Well, and that has been part of presentations the council has heard.
Yeah.
And that's when we had the DOT officials present, and that's been at Arts, that's been at the council meeting. If you change the purpose and need, the information we had from DOT was that would put the project back at the bottom of the list and would have to work its way back up.
And that would make a lot of people very happy.
Yes, certainly in this room it would. And, of course, the other problem is that would endanger the funding for the project, because with the purpose of need change, we've heard from the State Infrastructure Bank that they would require reapplication, and, again, that would put the application at the bottom of the list. The other input we had, and I think I've shared this before, Mr. Tool's group had a traffic engineering firm. and they were clear with us that if you change the purpose of need from a capacity-driven project to safety and improvements instead, their opinion was that would address the traffic for approximately a year or two, but would not be a permanent solution.
Let's not lose sight of the fact that back in 2010, Aiken County supported a referendum on capital projects, sales tax number 3, and Hitchcock Parkway widening 4 lanes, which was approved by 25,000 Aiken County voters, which included 7,500 city citizens, was approved.
And of course, what you have on the agenda tonight is the sidewalks.
Yeah, but we can't get off into this grass, high grass, because we've got 3 items that we're talking about on our agenda.
You let the gentleman talk about the bicycle thing. That wasn't on your agenda.
Yes, it is on the agenda.
You say that you brought the other two.
It is on that. It was.
You give everybody the same
one. It was on the agenda, sir. Where is it?
It's deleting the sidewalks.
Huh? It's deleting the sidewalks?
Right, and then Mr. Lex was talking about
that was one of the items, whether or not to delete the sidewalks. What does this gentleman like to speak on?
I'd like to speak to my citizens very quickly, and to my fellow citizens also, I believe.
We need your name.
On what subject?
My name is Bob Horning. I don't know where the microphone is.
That's right.
You're fine.
You can pick up. They're very sensitive.
I'd like to address my fellow citizens. Basically, this is for all of us that have been sleeping through this whole process and need to wake up that this is being railroaded on us. And the loss report that came out a year and a half ago now since this started, that showed a negative growth rate for this section of the Hitchcock Parkway, without question. That didn't meet with the approval of our elected leaders, and so they went and spent $95,000 of your tax money to get an answer that they approved of. That was this new study from the folks over in Augusta. So now they have said that, well, actually, there are more people driving down the road there than there were in the loss report. So either the people did the level of service report were incompetent or they lied. One of the two. I don't know which. I'm not sure. The next part of this is I live very close to the parkway, like in my backyard, and that really brought me to become aware of the situation. I sat out with a cup of coffee for a few days and did a count. Now, I'm a pretty old guy and I miss numbers, but I'm not 2,000 off, all right? I thought, goodness, that's strange. My numbers are a lot less than everybody else's. Why is that? So I called the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta and the Civil Engineering Department, and I found out the way these numbers are made. They actually count the numbers of cars and trucks that go by, and then they assume a certain percentage of traffic going on other roads near this road will be drawn in to use the new wider road. The problem with using that type of equation is that we have no other roads going the same direction anymore. It's only one road that will ever be that way. There's no other traffic to pull in. So actually the real number should be the count. So there is no growth at all in this area. We have, since this started 18 months to 2 years ago, and in earnest, we have noticed that there are probably close to 2,000 jobs that have been lost at the Savannah River site. Well, guess what, folks? That means 2,000 cars, at least, are not going to be using the parkway. So what's happening is that we are having a drag on the growth, or at best, or probably a negative growth situation. The next thing we heard was, I brought up at one of these meetings about the safety situation. We have hundreds of bridges in this county that are substandard by the highway department. Guess what? No money's going to them. There's actually about $678,000 that has been budgeted to fix those bridges in this county. Two-thirds of that is for personnel costs that are ongoing. So we're actually in the $250,000 to $300,000 range for fixing bridges that we as citizens go across every single day. So that's the priority. The next thing about it really is scares me is there's no stoplights on the park on the new parkway plan. The big wrecks are at Dibble Road. Okay? There's no stoplight there. So that's not going to change. No matter how many, if we have 17 lanes go down there, without a stoplight, we're going to have wrecks. Okay, it's just horse trailers and, you know, those old white people that have horses, right? Okay, so what? How about our children at the top of the hill at the school? No stoplight for their safety? Does anybody care about them? I don't know. Maybe not. There we are again. The last problem we have with this situation is cost. We've been sitting here talking. The gentleman spoke about the bike paths. Well, we heard a number. I'm not sure if it's accurate or not. I don't want to hold you to it, but a couple $1 million for those bike paths. This is a serious road building. We have to put in a lot of dirt to even everything out. A couple $1 million for some guys who want to ride bikes. Great. If we pass the hat, we can find them another road to go on. But I can't afford $2 million for that. I love riding a bike, and I do it a good bit. However, it's a lot of money. $22 million was what this started off with. Now we're at $32 million. I've seen numbers up to $52 million. Nobody really knows. So where's all this money coming from? That only leaves one part of this left. We're already talking about not having enough money. Guess what? The only thing we can do as citizens is call up our elected officials. I'm not talking about these folks. I mean our state officials and say, Nikki Haley, you're running for governor again in November. How about helping us out? Or Mr. Shaheen, the same way, who's on the other ticket. Or perhaps our Joe Wilson, our congressman, because they have the federal ear and they have the state ear for these funds. That's really the only way this is going to be taken care of in a safe manner. We can expand the road to have turn lanes, stoplights, and we have enough space now on the road for our decreasing number of vehicles on our roads, as we've talked about from the loss report. And since then, as I mentioned before, the layoffs at the site. Thank you very much.
If there's anyone else who wants to talk about the items that are on our agenda, you may do so. But not talk about anything else. It's on our agenda. And I hope you're polite enough and you're understanding that we try to manage our meetings and they go on the agenda. If you want something on the agenda, certainly you can put something on the agenda a week before the meeting. That's always the way it is. But we need to continue and do the things that are on our agenda for this meeting. There's another meeting 2 weeks. If you want to put something on the agenda for that meeting, you can do so. Yes, sir.
My name is Eiler Brisbane. I've lived in Aiken for the past 46 years. I've worked at the University of Georgia Savannah River Ecology Laboratory, and I am still an emeritus professor at the Institute of Ecology and a wildlife biologist with the University of Georgia. During my career, I have studied the behavior and hazards of wildlife, particularly, among other things, white-tailed deer and deer car accidents. The last time this council talked about widening and the parkway and the beautiful vegetation in the median strip, I mentioned to the council that this was like ringing a dinner bell for the salad bar at Ruby Tuesday's for white-tailed deer to come out on the parkway and be hit by cars. White-tailed deer kill more people in the United States than any other species of wildlife. And attracting them to the middle of a widened parkway is just not safe. The resolution you're considering calls for a recommendation of narrowing the median strip. I say that's wonderful, but that's not enough. You need to speak to narrowing it and doing what? And I would like to ask somebody on the council to amend the resolution to add the words and eliminate the planting of vegetation in the median strip of the parkway. First of all, it'll save money. I've put these comments in writing at the December meeting at the church, and I have never yet been contacted by the state who said, if you fill out this form, we will respond to you. So I'd like someone to consider safety and reduction of deer car accidents, because that is a major deer thoroughfare east to west across that part of the parkway. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sherry Norton, and I live here in Aiken, in Surrey Woods, and I have some questions pertaining to the budget that you have here, the $31,500,000. Does that include the buying of property that might be necessary?
That money would be used for that, yes.
But that is included in this number? And does it also include any landscaping that you had planned?
Yes, the DOT is planned.
Well, he's talked about, you know, eliminating vegetation, but you had originally talked about putting vegetation in the medium,
right,
or wherever.
Does
that number include money for that if you did decide to do that?
No.
The landscape medium?
Well, that's maintenance.
It's just grass.
That's not
personal property.
It won't cover maintenance. It'll cover installation.
Does the $31,500,000 include any planned landscaping and the medium that you had planned to do?
The project will include that, putting it in.
Right.
But
yes.
To be fair, we can't tell you how much is going to cost for the landscaping. We can't tell you how much it's going to cost for land acquisition.
That's not been factored
into. That's just
into
the money that's available that we.
This is just money available for all of those things. But we honestly, I don't think DOT knows how much they're going to have to spend to buy land.
So it could be a lot more than this.
It
could be less too, Ms. Norton. That's the purpose of the formal public hearing.
This is just sort of a guess.
Once the
design, that's the money that's available.
That's the money available. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't know if what you plan can fit into this at this point.
That's true.
It is supposed to include a landscape meeting. Yes.
And the other thing is, there's been many references to the voters, what they did in the referendum, that they voted to widen this to four lanes and so on. But I have the actual wording here. What the voters voted for was a whole list of things, and one of which was $4 million for Hitchcock Parkway widening. It did not say widening to four lanes with walls and all this kind of thing, sidewalks. It didn't say that. It said $4 million for Hitchcock Parkway widening. Well, sure, I agree. You know, widening can include a lot of things. It could include a third lane. It could include a turning lane. It did not specify that the voters, you know, wanted four lanes and all this other stuff. So just don't say that.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Gilbert. I live on Huntsman Drive. He's back. Mayor Cavanaugh, I respect your request to stick with the topic on the agenda, and I intend to do that. I want to focus on funding, the justification for that funding, the amounts of that funding. And I have some material here that I'd like to go through rapidly.
Can we switch to the laptop?
On that subject?
Uber. Can we click on that? Mr. Beanbo, I'll help you with that.
One second. Give us a second to switch.
Okay, I put this in the form of six myths that I detect have been created and promulgated about the Hitchcock Parkway, and there are many more, but again, I'm trying to stick with the subject at hand. This is the definition of a myth, not hard to understand. The first myth, this is kind of wordy, I used it for a different purpose, but the justification for the $9.5 million that's on this resolution, or on this memorandum, rather, from the State Infrastructure Bank was based on a justification. And my myth number one is that project justification makes sense, and I maintain it doesn't make sense. Again, this is the basis for obtaining the $9.5 million from the Infrastructure Bank. I say it makes no sense for these by the way, that justification was provide improved access from Interstate 20 at Route 19 to SRS. So an improved access, Interstate 20 to SRS. Makes no sense for these three reasons. First of all, the workforce, that's not working. the workforce at SRS has dramatically declined. 65%, 16,000 employees aren't there, which affects probably 48,000 people, including families. The taxpayers, second reason it makes no sense, the taxpayers footed the bill to the tune of $260 million for the Palmetto Parkway, which provides direct access essentially to the front door from I-20 to SRS. We've also spent tens of millions of tax dollars widening U.S. Route 1 from Interstate 20, the Rudy Mason, part of the Rudy Mason Parkway and East Pine Log Road. And I have that graphically displayed here. The red is the proposed widening of this westerly circuit around Aiken. And, well, again, the pointers let me down. But this part of it is Hitchcock Parkway. So Hitchcock Parkway is a part of this grand scheme to add this improved route to SRS. The green is what we spent tens of millions of dollars on, that is four-laning all of that circuit. And then the brown is the Palmetto Parkway access. So we have the green access, we have the brown access, and the justification to get $9.5 million is we need a third access, which is the red. I maintain that makes no sense. Myth number two. This touches on much of the conversation here already. That is, the South Carolina DOT cost estimates are believable and adequate funding has been secured. I say both of those are myths. Fact. In 1 year, the Silver Bluff Road project, which now we have a final design for, between the previous design status and the final design, the estimated cost for that project increased 42%. Now, my livelihood has been derived from working on projects, 10,000 to 10 billion. So I know something about managing projects. That's awful. That's an awful record, but it's typical. The Hitchcock Parkway widening back in 2004 in the arts planning document was a $2 million addition of passing lanes. That has ballooned now to a $43.6 million project. That is the official cost estimate in the latest issue of the documents from arts, which were published last fall and winter. And that reflects input from DOT. So where are these numbers coming from? This I can show you in the arts document, $43.6 million. That's $17 million more than the funding that's available. I'm not counting the dream and the wish of getting $5 million from the county, because that has not been obtained yet. Okay, if we took, some of us that are somewhat knowledgeable about working on managing projects, we took the estimate for Silver Bluff Road, and we extrapolated that to Hitchcock Parkway. And we came up with an estimate of $54 million based on the latest cost estimate for Silver Bluff Road. Now, why hasn't DOT gone through that simple exercise to check their work, to check whatever number they're putting out? Why haven't they done that? Why haven't they looked at what's in the arts document for which they furnish the input to? You guys and ladies ought to be concerned about it. These are big numbers. And where does the money come from? Taxpayers, obviously. So $54 million is $28 million more than the money you have in your pocket right now. Now, it gets worse. The $54 million that we extrapolated from Silver Bluff Road did not include a lot of factors that differentiate Silver Bluff SB from HP. For example, complexity. Silver Bluff, low. Hitchcock Parkway, high. I think we can all understand that. Just go out and look at the two roadways. Retaining walls. None at Silver Bluff, yes at Hitchcock Parkway. And I understand that's been confirmed recently. That's what I read in the newspaper. Kevin Gant is saying, yes, we're going to have retaining walls, and they're going to cost a lot of money, and they're going to be ugly. Sound barriers, none on Silver Bluff. I'm sure they're going to be on some Hitchcock Parkway. We have, for example, a nursery school that's going to be up against the pavement. Earthwork, minimal on Silver Bluff, extensive on Hitchcock Parkway. Curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, minimal on Silver Bluff, 100,000 linear feet on Hitchcock Parkway. Major signal intersections, one on Silver Bluff, and you've heard some comments about the need for additional traffic signals, which all of the authorities that are involved in this project seem to refuse to recognize. For example, we're going to have five lanes at the intersection of Dibble Road, and we don't need a traffic signal? Can you imagine crossing that with a huge pickup truck towing a horse trailer behind you?
That's to be determined, Bob.
That's the word that's come down every time I've asked the question. No traffic signals. So, and somebody else has already mentioned there's a huge problem that also currently exists at Aiken Elementary School. That is a disaster waiting to happen. Why isn't there concern about that? Stormwater drainage system, minimal on Silver Bluff, extensive on Hitchcock Parkway. Environmental impact mitigation, minimal Silver Bluff, extensive on HP. Retention ponds, one on Silver Bluff, I'm sure multiple on Hitchcock Parkway. None of this is taken into account in that $54 million estimate. Second thing, I'll just touch on this briefly, but it does relate to the cost and the scope, and that is, as has been said many times, the city's own traffic consultant publishing the latest level of service report said traffic is decreasing from 2010 to 2012 on Hitchcock Parkway. So, and essentially, there's a single data point being used for justification of this project.
Where did that come from?
That's the level of service report, which every from 2 years... the city of Aiken engages a traffic consultant to produce. And when you look at that report, you'll see traffic has declined on all four segments of Hitchcock Parkway about a 15%, no, it was more than that, I can't remember all that, but about a 15% decrease on one segment, 12% on another. And the other two were in the single digit.
You've shown us those figures.
Yeah, and last October I went over that.
It was 2012 was the last.
2012.
We're working on the current one, the 2012.
That's right. That's the latest report for the 2010 to 2012 period.
Okay. Well, we've had more current ones since then.
We're working on the 2014. Okay. It's done in 2 years.
This is the latest. And, you know, I think there... Anyway, just moving on quickly. Single data points being used, and that's traffic count is 17,000 cars a day, and the theoretical capacity is 16,000. I tell you what, if this were money coming out of my own pocket, I'd sure want more than that to justify this project. Okay, travel time studies have not been performed, and that's what should be done. How long does it take to get from point A to point B? And we need to look at that because I am convinced, based on the level of service report, which says the most congested section of roadway by far in Aiken is on Whiskey Road between the south boundary and Boardman. It's not even close. So there are areas of Aiken that have much bigger problems than whatever is perceived for Aiken. For Hitchcock Parkway. But we can't know that until we do some studies, some reasonably sophisticated studies. Okay, commercial development on the west side has been touted as a reason there's going to be more traffic. I submit just the opposite is true. We have new commercial development on the west side, which tends to keep people on the west side. They don't have to go to the south side so much anymore. Look at the Aiken Mall demise. Perfect example. Also, we have new medical facilities springing up all over the south side, which means they no longer have to make so many trips to the west side hospital facilities and all the physicians that are located there. Okay. Myth number four, one of my favorites. Late in the process last year, this was introduced as a concern, safety. Now, I maintain, and many of us maintain, there are some things that can be done, should be done, and they're economical right now with respect to safety. Additional traffic signals, coordination of traffic signals, that is the main inhibitor to traffic flow on any roadway, including Hitchcock Parkway. The signals aren't, you know, we have people making right-hand turns out of streets that intersect with Hitchcock Parkway, and then they make, you know, you stop and you look to see that nobody's coming when the light is red in your direction. They stop and they make right-hand turns. Well, guess what happens? They trip the traffic signal. So all the traffic on Hitchcock Parkway stops. That's crazy. Turning, acceleration, and deceleration. I mean, we can go over this in detail. Frankly, one of the big frustrations that many of us have is not, you know, the people seem to listen to us, but no, or hear us, I guess, is better, hear us, but we're not being listened to. You know, we could sit down and have a discussion about these things. And if not now, when? Widen the existing lanes and shoulders. That's exactly what was done on Whiskey Road in order not to have to make that a 4 or 5 lane roadway. They provided wider lanes. Okay, let's look at where the real road safety problems are in Aiken. After this rumble about there's a safety problem on Whiskey Road, we contacted the South Carolina Department of Public Safety, and we obtained a whole bunch of data about accident statistics in Aiken. And this is just a sample. This is what we found. Whiskey Road, for example. By the way, this is accidents per mile for the period 2004 to 2013, except for the last column, deaths, which is for the total length of the roadway. Okay, Whiskey Road between Weeks and Tractor Supply. Well, you can just read it for yourself. 755 accidents, 290 injuries, 3 deaths. And you can just, I don't read it, but look at the bottom, Hitchcock Parkway. 98 accidents per mile, 47 injuries per mile over that 10-year period, and no deaths. Where is our sense of priorities? You know, presumably we have limited tax revenue to spend, and presumably we ought to be evaluating where do we get the most bang for the buck. I maintain it's not Hitchcock Parkway. Freeways required for smoothly flowing traffic. Well, I won't get into this, but I've done my own survey of the loop around Aiken, and I think anybody else would reach the same conclusion. Hitchcock Parkway is by far the freest flowing section of the 18-mile loop around Aiken already. Last myth, a thorough job of planning has been done. And I ask the question, where is the evidence of an effective Hitchcock Parkway planning process? First, and I have some excerpts from various documents. South Carolina Code of Laws, Title 6, Chapter 29. Careful and comprehensive surveys and studies, systematic preparation, wise and efficient use of public funds, consideration of the physical impact on property owners. The Aiken Comprehensive Land Use and Transportation Plan. Minimize the impact of the automobile. My friend Tom Lex talked eloquently about that. No road improvements which would harm visual character. Movement of motor vehicles should not be the only factor in determining when road projects should be constructed. Consider its effect on the character of the city. Aiken 10-year capital improvements plan. Before any project is approved, sufficient funding must be identified. Hasn't happened. And furthermore, I just say from my own experience as a contractor dealing with the federal government, if a federal government agency were to engage in this concept of incremental funding of a project, phasing of a project, I liken it to, well, we really need to build a 10-story building, but we only have money to build 5. So we'll build 5 now, and we'll put a tarp over the top of it, and we'll come back later on. That's what's happening with Hitchcock Parkway, with this phasing. People have gone to jail for that kind of thinking with respect to federal government work. Finally, Doherty Road Corridor Planning Study. It was an excellent piece of work. The city hired a consultant, and the consultant had a couple of sub-consultants. Beautiful job. I thought it was thoughtful, had evaluated a whole group of alternatives. My question is, Doherty Road, in terms of complexity and impact on the community, pales in comparison with Hitchcock Parkway. Why hasn't some of that consideration been given to Hitchcock Parkway? It just hasn't been. So, in summary, you know, it's the same old story. I urge the city council to let's have a good faith dialogue about this. That hasn't happened. And let's do some thoughtful planning and thinking. And let's don't be so concerned about if we don't spend the money fast, we're going to lose it. I want to get back to Silver Bluff Road because that keeps coming up. The purpose and need, as we all now know, for Silver Bluff Road was changed from capacity to corridor and operational improvements. The whole ball game changed. But one thing that didn't change was that that project didn't go to the bottom of somebody's list and take decades to resurrect. It's not going to happen on Hitchcock Parkway. If Hitchcock Parkway was important enough to be at the top of the list as a freeway, it's going to remain there as a corridor and operational improvements project. Much less costly, much less destructive. So I urge the city council to somehow consider asking the South Carolina Arts Policy Subcommittee to change the purpose and need for the project. That's what it comes down to. Thanks for indulging.
Thank you.
We just get rid of it.
Okay. Chair Kavanaugh, if you'll indulge me.
Yes, sir.
I speak to the council on the subject.
Yes, sir.
Item 2, sidewalks and bicycle paths. Sorry?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get my assistant's attention. Yes, excuse me, sir. Very sorry.
It seems to me, I've watched this saga from a distance.
Can you state the... You need his name?
Okay. Sorry, very few people know him. My name's Sam Kelly. Those of you who are perceptive will recognize immediately that I wasn't born and raised in South Carolina. I did come here in 96, heading up one of the partner firms that ran the Savannah River site from 1996. I retired in 2005. I'm still here, 9 years later, and I chose, because I enjoy living here, to become a U.S. citizen. And I'm very proud to be a U.S. citizen. I live in Kalmia Hills. I have no vested interest in this other than an objective view from afar wondering what is this madness. And I have nothing to add to what the last speaker said, and I should hear at one stage council members advise you that in my industry, where I also have managed projects from the tens of millions to the billions, that there was nobody better in the world than Bechtel at managing projects. When a Bechtel engineer tells you what he has told you, it would be a very foolish man who ignored his advice. I have been astonished listening tonight at talking about footpaths and bicycle paths. It seemed to me it's almost like Nero fiddling while Rome burns. The project, a good project, always has a very tight specification before you launch into spending money. There is nothing tight about this specification. We don't even know what we're doing yet. But to move on, if I would say that there's no justification for this on grounds of safety, I have spoken to business people in the community. As far as I can find, there's no real business justification for this. And in a time when we are all financially stressed, I'm told this country is just emerging from a huge financial recession. And I have in my genes, although I'm called Kelly, I'm classic Scots-Irish, of which most of you probably come from that part of the world originally too. One of the features of Scots is that in their DNA molecules, they have a paranoid dislike of spending money recklessly or foolishly. It seems to me that with such a loose specification and no justification for what's being proposed at the moment, as so eloquently described by the previous speaker, that it would do us all well to consider how we propose to spend taxpayers' dollars. I pay as a U.S. citizen, I pay my city, county, state, and federal taxes as a U.S. citizen. I am told by many people that we're taxed enough already. There's no such thing as free money. It's taxpayers' money. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And I object to have my taxpayers' dollars spent when a little consideration of a lesser but acceptable scheme involving what the previous speaker has suggested would be a much better option. I would plead with the council and suggest to you that it might be worth your while to consider before going any further to consider the alternative to this all-singing grand scheme, which is going to cost an awful lot of money for which we don't have the funding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Okay, it's back to council.
I still had a brief question about the second resolution.
Regarding your vote on the first resolution.
Okay. All right. We'll do them one at a time then. I'll reread it.
All right.
Because it was modified.
Richard, what is it? And again, Gary, if you want to help, my understanding is the motion is to pass the resolution, keep in the language under the first bullet point to delete sidewalks, and instead have a multi-use pathway on one side of the project, narrow the landscape median, and then totally eliminate the third bullet point that talks about opportunities to limit the total project cost to $31,500,000.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't.
We keep the leak sidewalks. We keep narrow the landscape median. Mm-hmm. We eliminate to make other project adjustments. And we add multi-use path on one side.
Yes, that's what I
thought you said. Yes. If that's what you said, I'm fine.
Yes, sir. That's what
that's
I thought.
That's not what I heard.
I promise. That's
okay.
What I heard.
Well, the other question I have then is, what's the purpose? Is this going to be a charter or an instruction to the Arts Commission? Are we going to have to vote on it twice?
It would be given to the Arts Commission at Thursday's meeting.
It'll be an instruction to the Arts Commission on Thursday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which means DOT will probably come up with a design different from what we've seen for the last 2 years.
You haven't seen the design so far. You've seen the concept.
Well,
they would incorporate
right.
it in the design.
That means DOT is going to give us a concept for our instruction.
They've done concepts. That was the December meeting. They're in the design phase now. So for the public hearing, which is scheduled for later this year, that would give them an opportunity to incorporate council's resolution in the design that they present at the public hearing.
I want to ask Mr. Dewar something. What was the reason for eliminating the suggestion to try to keep the cost down?
Listen, well, I don't know that it's significant. Make other project adjustments to bring the project cost with contingencies to $31,500. I don't think we have any idea what the total cost of this project is going to be yet. So I, you know, to turn around and say keep it under some magic number, I don't.
I would at every turn like to try to offer encouragement to keep the cost down at every opportunity.
I mean, I don't have any heartburn. It wasn't anything that I had originally proposed. I don't have a heartburn keeping that sentence in. I agree with you. Anything we can do to keep the cost under control. I don't know how significant that statement would be, Tarks, but if you want to keep it in, I would modify my motion to keep it in.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that's a point of emphasis, that the cost is a concern.
Okay. So you need to second my...
Oh, I second that.
All right.
Amendment to the amendment.
Okay, to the amendment. Okay.
Is there any further discussion on this? Any discussion? Here I have a question. This resolution, a resolution going to arts, and so what?
You provide
it's approved or it's not approved.
Correct.
and then it goes on to the policy committee. Okay. And so you simply take this as an opportunity to provide city council guidance to those bodies.
And if the subcommittee and policy committee then adopt that, and that would go to DOT incorporated in the design that they're prepared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess if it's adopted, you would email it to Arts and with copies to the two of us that are on Arts?
Yeah. How about the multi-use?
It's fine.
If it's in there, it's okay.
It's in the new provision.
Yeah, we amended to keep it in.
Okay. Okay.
Well, one more question. Somewhere in there it says they've spent like $3 million in the engineering project design or preliminary engineering.
Where it says they've obligated it. They haven't spent it yet. That will be used for the preliminary engineering. That'll be part of the public hearing that'll be held later this year. Is that preliminary engineering?
Still a little bit confused though. Okay, if Arts is going to recommend the inclusion of what Dick is saying as an instruction to South Carolina DOT on Thursday, will that be included in the design that we're going to see later on this year?
If Arts recommends that and sends it on to the policy committee for vote.
Well, Arts take their directions from us because that's the way they keep seeding it back to us.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, that's what was said at the last meeting.
And what Dick is recommending is what we're going to see at the final design.
No, it's what we would like to see, but we're not the final approver.
Right. Arts subcommittee would have to vote on it, then it would go to full committee for a vote.
Okay.
So if it's approved at those two stages, then it would be included.
Right.
Or it should be included.
I think when you get down to the money aspect of it, do all the adjustments, project adjustments to bring the cost, certainly bring it down as much as you can, but with contingencies to the 31.5. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we can... We can't ensure that, obviously.
It's
giving our opinion of what we want to happen, certainly. But mm-hmm. other than that,
again, it's all of our recommendations.
And that's another reason why this gentleman who is Kevin's boss, that's who he is. He's been here at least once or twice. We've seen him at the public meetings.
Yeah.
That's another reason I think that he says, hey, don't act right now. But anyway. Okay, we got a motion. Who made the motion, Dick?
Dick made it. I second it.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, can everybody interrupt a moment, please? I'm sorry, I'm probably out of order, but could I ask one question?
Yes, sir. Would you come back, please, and so we get you on tape?
I'm sorry, I didn't want to be involved with this. Do I take it that, despite the advice given by expert project managers on money control and specification, etc., which would suggest that this project is not under control, you're going to proceed with the scheme as originally designed, a four-lane freeway. Do I take it that you're ignoring the comments made by the people in this room? I mean, if you are, just say yes, and then that's the end of it.
We are at this point. We are at this point. There's some things that, and I would like to have a copy, Bob, please, of your slides, if you give those to me at some point.
Well, they're on the computer.
Okay, we got them. Okay, fine.
But if that's the case, Fred, at this point, could you be precise what you mean by at this point?
At this point.
Yes. So you are going to consider alternatives?
Now, there will be a formal public hearing. It's currently scheduled for the end of this year. Input can be put at that hearing as well.
As I understand the process, the council here will make proposals to the Arts Committee, mm-hmm. and that is the source of approval making. And unless you go back to the Arts Committee and say, we want to change the specification for the project, then it will go ahead as originally proposed.
Am I correct or incorrect?
That is true. The items on our agenda for tonight were very clear.
Yes, I understand.
Didn't include whether or not we're going to continue with the project or change the purpose of the
need. Sorry, I'm out of order because it's not specifically the item, but are you proceeding on the original four-lane freeway?
We are at this point, yes, because these change a few things about that, but not the total thing about
bicycle
that.
Bicycle paths and walkway.
Medians. Project costs.
But you're going ahead in spite of what the previous speaker to me has actually explained.
We've heard that and we'll take that into consideration, of course, but that's not on our agenda again, sir. Please understand we have a set agenda. If we didn't, we'd be running all over the place. People would be coming up for every kinds of thing and we'd never get...
I'm just giving you my opinion that you cannot go forward with the proposal when the whole thing is so imprecise.
Well, okay, I appreciate your opinion, sir. Okay. Any other?
Leslie has a question.
One more, and then we're going ahead with our meeting.
I'm Leslie Giobi, and I also live in Aiken. To me, this sounds like we're putting the cart before the horse. How many times do we have to go through this iteration? And this whole thing is going to take years and years and years. And you've got a whole room of people here. You've had rooms of people at the meeting at the county council last fall at St. Paul's, and I canvassed that St. Paul's meeting, and I say 99% of people there were adamantly against what's going on here. There's a research report by the chairman of the Iowa Department of Transportation that says they are taking 4 and 5 lane highways and reducing them back to 3 lanes to make them safer. That's one interesting fact. Here we've been through a horrible ice storm. We had water mains that date back to the 1890s breaking all over town. We've got very old infrastructure, very old gas pipelines. Look what happened to that apartment building in New York City. And we're not even taking care of our basic infrastructure, but we are going full blast to do something, to expand this parkway to something that it's not even needed. I mean, if I had you managing my money, I would be broke. I don't handle my personal finances this way. But I guess it's because you have the ability to float a bond issue or to raise taxes or, you know, there are various pockets where the money will appear from. What do we have to do?
You're saying some things that are not true.
Well,
we haven't raised your property taxes in 25 years, even though they've been raised by other things.
That's not what I'm talking about.
You said taxes.
I'm talking about state taxes. I'm talking about federal taxes.
We don't
taxes.
Have a bond issue.
I'm talking about the overall, you know, the little pockets of money where things come from. My question is, when would be the most appropriate time for me and others to request that the purpose and need for this project be changed from capacity to corridor and operational improvements?
You can get it on the next meeting's agenda.
How do I do that? Do I do it now?
Talk to the city manager.
You can just send me an email.
I'll talk to you.
Very good. That'll be fine.
All right, good. Thank you.
I don't know why that's...
Mr. Mayor, if I can just make a statement. This piece of paper that we have in front of us tonight is a memorandum. And it specifically says the subject tonight is a resolution regarding Hitchcock Parkway, sidewalks, median width, and project staging, period. Beyond that, that's another memo to us. The majority of the people here oppose, I am sensing, the widening of the Hitchcock Parkway. You do have businesses that support the widening. So in fairness to the population of people, we would have to have a meeting to give them a fair subject, because if we added something to the agenda that's not here, it is not fair to the other population that came out to the meeting of the church. So you want to make sure that you have the balance there. But that is the subject for this evening to discuss. I just wanted to make that. We can stray from it, but that's what we've been told by our legal folks, that whatever is here, that's what we've got to address.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second, right? Any other discussion items? Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay.
The second resolution, Mayor, was to make a request to Aiken County Council to commit $5 million from the capital project sales tax 3 funds in the county portion in the amount of $5 million to the Hitchcock Parkway project.
And my only questions were really just about that in the process. You know, I'd suggested that we reach out to the county on this months ago, and I was told then that we had done that. Is this $5 million something that we've discussed with them? Where do we stand?
Discussed it with them, yes.
Okay.
And they've asked that we make a formal request for action by Aiken County Council.
And specifically $5 million?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Very well.
But now that they'll still have to vote on it.
Why not? I understand.
There's no commitment.
Yeah, we didn't get a vote.
Other than
right.
to consider the
right.
request.
I understand that.
Just want to be clear for the record.
Okay, do we have a motion and second for that?
I move that we approve the second resolution.
I second.
Second, okay. Discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Mr. DeWar, not participating.
Mr. DeWar, not here. Okay.
But you know, that's not a bad point. You know, we've always got this concept plan.
You do have a concept plan. You do.
And, we don't really have a concept plan for, just with the turn lanes and the third lane in certain places and so forth. Have
no,
we ever?
No. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. There are the acceleration, deceleration.
Well, I think we should have a meeting. At our next meeting, we should perhaps discuss that.
Okay. And again, we could bring Rick to that.
Meeting's not over.
Any firm said that would buy you maybe a year or two based on the traffic pattern. It would not be a permanent solution.
Well, the thing about the traffic thing is just too many.
Okay. No, it hasn't.
I'll show you on that one a little bit.
Okay, we can take a look at the study that the traffic engineer is in there at odds with that.
Okay, turning over the page, item 3, first reading of an ordinance to amend the FY 2013-14 budget to approve a contract for hauling winter storm packs chip debris. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014. And again, we were using estimates, converting cubic yards of debris collected and then turning that into chipped wood, which is actually measured by the ton. And we have a quote at $2.50 a ton to haul that debris. And we would ask that in voting on this for first reading, that the ordinance be modified so it reads an additional expenditure not to exceed $41,250 from the general fund. So for consideration on first reading is approval of this contract. So once the debris is chipped, we can have it hauled away. I do want to put on the record that the apparent low bidder for the hauling, which is McWhorter Logging, actually has customers, that's industrial clients, and even the Amoresco plant out on the Savannah River site that are the end user for the wood chips. These are not going to the landfill. We've been very clear that if he has an indication that there would be debris that would have to go to the landfill, that instead we would make that available to our residents or use it by the city and not send it to the landfill, because we do have a use for the chips.
Okay, do we have a motion and second for approval?
I so move.
Second.
Second. Discussion?
I would go back and again ask the question to make sure that DHEC is on board with what we're planning on doing.
Well, yes, sir. This is just the hauling.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why I'm
distraught. Where are we going to haul it to?
Well, I just finished saying that this particular hauler has end users, industrial clients, and like the biomass plant on site. You know, this time the biomass plant is not accepting wood chips. That may change, but this hauler has actually assured us there's an end user for the chips. They don't just go into a...
Any of it be available to the citizens, the city residents?
Yes, sir. That's what I was just saying, too. If there's not an end user for the chips, we would make those available to the public, or we would use them in our city operation for our...
Sorry, I missed that portion. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, were you out of the roof when I was doing all that? I knew you were out of the roof for a while.
It might have been, yes.
Sorry, yes.
That's all right.
Okay, any other discussion on this?
I want to be sure that you've adjusted this to the extra yardage, right?
Yes, sir, that's right. And actually, with the calculations that Mr. Beanbow, who's our purchasing agent, and I did this afternoon, we can actually change it to say not to exceed $41,250.
And that is based on a unit value contract?
Yes, sir, that's right. The hauling is priced per ton hauled.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, show of hands, please. All for approval. Passes unanimously. Item 4, first reading of an ordinance to restructure the loan between Aiken Corp. and City of Aiken. Spears, please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Do I need to give you a back? Because you're inviting me back, and I don't see me on the agenda nowhere.
Oh.
I didn't know that Mr. Matthews was supposed to be on the agenda tonight. Well, I don't know what the...
You asked me to be back, go back, or to the next meeting.
I don't know what for, what item of business.
No, that's okay.
Were you here at the beginning when Mr. Ebner talked about having a work session this summer that includes the Edgewood issue?
We got it at 7 o'clock.
It was about 7:30, 7:25.
I was here after the basketball game. I was in the door.
Well, we discussed it while you were here then.
I didn't notice.
Wait. I apologize.
No, I think we did talk about Mr. Matthews coming back. What I did move to do is for us to have a work session very shortly, which would discuss the drainage issues in Edgewood as well as the other development issues for a comprehensive plan. And I assume you have Mr. Matthews' email.
He's very accessible.
Okay.
Because he's three doors down from my office.
So. Yeah, we include him in that discussion.
Absolutely.
It would probably be in July time frame.
Yeah, we thought over the summer, Mr. Matthews.
I didn't notice him there. He wouldn't have had to wait through all this other discussion.
Are you not enjoying watching the meeting?
Okay. Item 4.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance awarding Aiken Corporation a grant to create economic development on the north side of the city of Aiken. In light of the earlier discussion by council, is this an item we're going to take up?
Do we need to table it or continue it until we have this meeting? How do we proceed with that, Mr. City Attorney?
You would move to continue until after the July meeting when the other issues are discussed.
Mr. Mayor, I move to continue this agenda item until after we have our general meeting in relation to the north side development.
Okay. All right.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5, first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding outdoor lighting in the planned commercial and planned institutional zones. Mr. Pierceberry.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding outdoor lighting in the planned commercial and planned institutional zones. As I've included in my memo, Liz Stewart has also provided her memo from the April 15th Planning Commission meeting. Under their action item agenda given to them by council, this was an item that City Council had asked for them to review regarding exterior lighting that would be allowed in the planned commercial zone. And of course, that would, by virtue of the operation of the zoning ordinance, also apply to planned institutional zone as well. Beginning at page 166, we have a couple of pages from the zoning ordinance and how the exact amendments would look, and that's up on the screen right now. The Planning Commission voted unanimously to recommend these modifications to the zoning ordinance, and for first reading tonight is this ordinance to so amend the zoning ordinance regarding outdoor lighting.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 6, first reading of an ordinance to cancel the development agreement with Arcadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza, LLC.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to rescind ordinance number 1025-2004, authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a development agreement with Arcadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza, LLC. That was the developer's agreement for the Hitchcock Plaza. We've had several phases that have developed there. The development agreement actually begins at page 173 of the agenda. I was contacted by the principals of Arcadia Hendon Hitchcock Plaza, LLC. They have stated that in their belief they had complied with all terms of the development agreement, and for their business purposes and to make sure that the record was clear, as you'll see, the development agreement was recorded at the deed office. They need an ordinance confirming that the development agreement terms have all been met. I've had Ed Evans, who's our planning director, and George Britton, who's our engineering and utilities department director, review the agreement to make sure that all items have been complied with. They've reported back that all those items have been met and they have no objection at all, and in fact recommend that the agreement be canceled. This is an ordinance, and for approval tonight is first reading of the ordinance to cancel the original ordinance.
Okay, do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 7, first reading of an ordinance to authorize a loan up to $3,840,000 to fund construction of the Silver Bluff Water Treatment Plant and meter replacement projects. Do we have a motion?
If I may, Mayor, sure, I need to read the ordinance into the record to comply with state law. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to lend up to $3,840,000 to provide financing to fund the construction of the Silver Bluff Water Treatment Plant and Meter Replacement Project. We have discussed this several times, and of course, most recently in the workshop with the Engineering and Utility Department. This will allow the loan so we can complete the plant and install meters to be paid back on the schedule that appears at page 181 of your agenda.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
I do. Someone.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second? I'll approve that to get it to discussion phase.
I don't know why we're doing this.
Yeah.
We have, I'm going to say, Mr. Wall, we have approved money several times for this project.
Yes, you've approved a budget so that we could undertake the project. This is actually authorizing us to take the general fund money and use it on a utility project to pay back according to the schedule that's on page 181.
In 2012, I'll talk about the water meters first. We specifically had in that ordinance that it, depending on how you count, of the 8% we increased in 2012, either 5% or 6%, depending whether how you do the numbers, was dedicated for this work. And if you take 5% of $14 million, that's about $700, you know, plus or minus $1,000. And I mean, that was in the ordinance with no question about it, specifically pointed out. It wasn't in the ordinance, it was in the attachment to it. So I assume that at that time we voted that money to do that.
You committed the funds. This actually authorizes us to transfer the funds to then spend them.
But we authorized the money to be, that was part of the authorization to increase the water rates to pay for this. I mean, that was...
Those funds were not approved for the construction of the water plant, as I understood.
I think we need to have that document. We need to have that document that we approved is in 2012. We discussed it already several times in well in work session. And it specifically stated funds allocated for water meters. And I'll have to go back and reread it again.
Are you talking about the 8%?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and then we talked about it with the 10%.
Well, the 8% increase, 2% of that was committed to inflation. 6% for that was to hire three additional two-person crews and equip them to replace the water meters. That's how the money was committed. That's how we spent that money.
Yeah, but it didn't take $700,000 to do that. And that's how much per year. And it specifically said replacing the meters. And if you're going to replace them, you got to buy them.
All right, sir. But again, my understanding of that rate increase was to hire the staff and purchase the equipment. I mean, we could certainly run the numbers. The issue we're up against is, you know, we're spending down the cash on hand. We need the interfund loan to make the payments we have to make on the water plant.
Well, I think we need, you know, we have a different interpretation. I guess we have to get the city attorney involved because it was written down in there specifically, and it didn't take 6% to hire six people. You know, roughly that equates to $700,000 a year.
Right, but we're purchasing $3.6 million worth of meters, and then on the plant, we're projected to spend over $3.7 million.
But we authorized that's funding for that when we authorized the plant. And that goes.
You certainly authorized the construction of the plant in the budget. That money wasn't spent, so we didn't need to do the interfund loan to have the cash flow for the plant. Now we are building the plant, and we do need the cash flow. And again, this loan and payout is something that we've discussed with council several times. It's the interfund loan we need to pay for that project. For
the interfund loan showed up on this paper about 2 years, maybe 3 years ago. But it's my understanding when we authorized the Silver Bluff water tank that we authorized the funding for it to be paid for out of the water and sewer fund as we from that point forward, and the money would be escrowed.
Again, Mr. Edgar, I didn't realize this was a concern that you have. This is something we could have researched and had at the meeting tonight. Again, this is first reading of the ordinance. If council will indulge us and pass it on first reading, by second reading we can have all this documentation and then council can vote it up or down. We need the funding in order to be in place in order to pay the bills that are going to come due.
Well, how did we put it in the budget? And the auditors passed the budget every time we had this number in the budget, every time that we were going to spend that money.
Right, because we thought we were going to commence the project last budget year, but did not because of some budget problems we have with the folks that bid. And again, we can go back and look in the budget, but the revenue source for this project would have been shown as an interfund loan in part.
Well, we showed $52 million budgets almost for 3 years in a row, and this was in there every time, and we showed an equal amount of $52 million income.
Well, yes,
and
sir.
So and again, that would say that it was funded to me.
I mean, yes, sir, it was funded. And again, if you want to meet my office, we could go through this, but I think it shows an interfund loan as part of the funding, not just the revenue of the utility account. And again, we could pull up that detail. Be glad to go through it with you. That's not a problem.
Well, the other part, and we discussed it at the meeting with the engineering utilities, and Ms. Abney and Mr. Grinton can verify that if we use $250 cost per replacement meter, and we have 18,000 of them.
We don't have to replace 18,000 meters. We probably have to replace somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 to 15,000.
Well, that's not the number we've been given before. How can we not replace
them? I'd be glad to meet with you and go through this.
Well, we've already met with them, and I'll be glad to do it again. We'll just discuss it at the next council meeting, because all of the brass meters we agreed to replace, and most all of them are 20 years old now or older.
No, I think we have some that are newer than that. But, again, we can go into the detail again if we need to. That's not a problem. It would be helpful to staff if council could at least pass this on first reading. And again, we could provide this detail for the second reading as well.
I have a couple of questions as well. And again, municipal funding, I guess. I didn't think we could borrow from the general fund to do something in an enterprise fund. I thought if we were doing that, and we go through that process where it had to be a bond.
I mean, Mr. Smith can speak to that. We've done these interfund loans in the past without having to bond money. That's money that we're holding.
By law, can we take general fund money?
You can't do the reverse. You can't use utility fund money to fund things that should be funded by the general fund.
Okay.
That's clearly,
but we can
utility
use
fund money has to stay with the utility.
But we can use general fund money to fund enterprise projects.
Sure.
Do we have any reserves in the enterprise fund, and we just use those reserves? And it fund itself?
Well, again, on the sheet that you have on page 181, it does show that the system depreciation money, it does show that fund. It's a line item. We looked at that in our meeting in my office, but again, we could go through it again.
Under the on that same page, where it, I guess balance of debt, which is the third item.
Uh-huh.
We have new interfund loans.
Right. That's the loan.
And what we're talking about right now is $3,840,300. That's this loan.
Yes.
What does the $2,888,300 mean?
That's the balance after we've made a payment of the on the loan.
And where on this page does it show how much of the payment?
It's right up above where it says debt service expenses, new interfund loans. It shows a payment of $46,000, and then in the budget year 15-16, it shows a payment of $998,084.
Right?
It's right above it. But okay. It's over under $2,000.
So where are we going to get that $998,000 to pay that loan?
Well, again, that would be the utility fund paying that back to the general fund.
Well,
so it would come out of those monies.
That line, and I'm sorry to be so pressing on this, but that line says new interfund loan. So
that's the payback of the loan.
So the first year, we're paying $46,084.
That's what's shown, yes.
Against the $3,840,300 loan. It still would give me a balance of about 3.8 million, rounding it up. Yet we're showing the balance of 2.8 million.
And that's in budget year 15-16.
I just don't understand the numbers.
Okay, sir. And again, we can meet and go through this.
Well, I'd rather have it in a public discussion with council. I mean, that's the place to have it. If you want to have a work session, that's fine. If you want to defer it to the next meeting, but I...
Well, and again, when we looked at this, Mr. Dwyer, we looked at about a $1 million amount for debt service once we had borrowed the money and started to pay back the money. So you're on a four-year payback for the loan which covers the Silver Bluff water plant wells. You'll see that this budget year we were going to spend $3 million. Next budget year we're going to spend $1,227,000. That's shown in the detail down below.
Okay.
So again, the total for the plant is $4.227 million to build the plant. So the loan is less than the total cost of the plant. So we have used our reserve money to pay. Then again, we're going to be using the system depreciation money to help pay off that loan.
And this is system depreciation money from what account?
It's the utilities account.
And isn't this the money that we said we wouldn't know how much we would have to apply to depreciation until the August settlement time?
That's when you have the confirmed number. That's estimated to be $643,000 at this point for this budget year. It's estimated next budget year to be $1,200,000.
You honestly think we'll have $1,200,000 based on what we know now about the budget?
I think we'll know better in November, as we discussed at the work session.
See, I guess that's my frustration. We're talking about big money here. And if we're talking about borrowing $3.84 million from the general fund, I'd like to feel a lot more comfortable about our ability to repay that loan. And history tells me that when we come up in August to reconcile everything, that we haven't in a while, we're not going to have the money to put into the system depreciation. And it's almost like a pie-in-the-sky approach to say, well, we're going to pay this off in 3 years. Our history with depreciation doesn't justify that. But what we learned in the engineering utilities meeting is they've got a lot of projects that they need to do.
That's
they need
exactly
a lot
right.
more money than they have, quite honestly. I don't know what we're going to end up cutting based on what we heard in their work session. But I'm just not comfortable with this chart the way it is. I think it's pie in the sky to think that we're going to come up with that kind of money to pay off that loan. Just my opinion. I don't know how other members of council feel about it. But
Actually, this loan is going to be paid off from the 2009 revenue bond, which pays out in December of this year, right?
Well, and that is a good point, Mr. Abner. I appreciate you bringing that up. I mean, we are currently making this budget year, we're paying $1,009,625 to pay off the revenue bond. Then in December, which will be part of the 2014-2015 budget year, we're paying $1,030,124. That pays out the bond. So that will retire the utility bond. We have not missed a bond payment. We have never missed a bond payment.
I understand.
So what you're doing is, since you don't have to make the bond payment every year, you're committing that money to instead pay off this new interfund loan. So, I mean, I appreciate the concern, because I think we all need to be concerned about that. But the history and track record we do have is that we were able to make the bond payments, and projecting forward, we believe we can make that payment of the $998,000.
Making the bond payment is far different from making an in-house loan that we can just arbitrarily come up with an excuse for not being able to fund.
No, sir. That would be something we would come to council for a vote. We wouldn't arbitrarily do it.
But if you don't have it, you can't pay the loan.
We've had it in the past every year of the bond.
Of the bond?
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I have no qualm about it. But we haven't had it. I mean, look how long it's taken us to pay the Cross and Park loan off, and look at the difficulty we've had funding depreciation in the enterprise. And we've had several significant water rate increases, and I just don't see how that's going to be any different this year. I just question our ability to project a loan payment of
3.8.
It's based on our ability to make the bond payments, and the bond will be paid off, so it'll be retired. So that money is available to make the payments on the loan.
Well, that's money that we made available in the budget to pay the bond.
Right.
And so what you're saying is that when you give us the budget, you're going to have in there, you're going to keep that same amount, and you're going to bind that money to repayment, to repaying of this loan that we're making from the general fund to do these the water meters and the water tank.
Right. The other additional item was the Shaw's Creek byproducts installation.
Well, now, this all raises a question. If all of a sudden, because of the retirement of that revenue bond, we've got roughly $1 million a year that we're spending there that we can now spend to pay for this water treatment facility.
That's right.
Does that not alleviate some of the pressure on the water rates that we just voted to raise?
Not necessarily, because look at the work that's got to be done.
Again, to make the reason for the water rates were the fact that we were not able to make the full system depreciation payment of $1.2 million, as well as our operation expenses.
But some of those expenses were for that water treatment facility on South Bluff, right? Some of the projected expenses were that.
Yes, from system depreciation, that's right. The money on hand. We wanted to spend the money on hand before we borrowed money to finish the project, and that's what we've had in the projections from the beginning. So again, it's not pie in the sky as it is a plan to fully depreciate the system because of the discussion we had last Thursday about putting in depreciation in the budget to make sure that we were ready when we had these big expenses.
I'd be content getting with you later about it, but I'm not sure. Maybe my memory on it's incorrect, but I'm not sure I really understand.
So we have to make June 30th of this year, we have to borrow $3.8 million to make June 30th payroll?
Well, actually, what we're showing on the loan is 2.873 this year, and then $967,300 for next budget year. So we do need the money now.
But the $1.2 million in system depreciation, is that also going to go to pay off this loan? Or is that going to go for other expenses like we've been using it?
Well, to me, that would go for other expenses because we would use the bond payment to pay off the loan.
Okay. I think that's what we need to say, because I got two issues. One, I think we've already put the money there. Right. We had money in 2010 of $3.8 million, and the next year it disappeared. And I'll bring that to the next meeting. But I think we need to alter what this says and say that we'll use the revenue bond money, the $1,030,124, to pay this off.
Oh, for the repayment?
Yes. Because we know December, the end of December, we pay off the bond of this year. Is that right, Ms. Abney?
That's exactly the plan, yes, sir.
Okay. And then so that, and do you accumulate that on a monthly basis, or do you do it at the end of the year? The million, the payoff the bond, monthly payment?
If you look at the note on page 180, Mr. Edwards, it says a six-month period. It's computed.
No.
It's computed every 6 months.
How do you pay the bond off? Is that an annual payment?
Annual payment is what we've done.
Okay. So do you collect the money per month, or are you just wait to the end of the year and pay the $1 million?
It's a mid-year payment, mid-budget year.
You accumulate the money and then pay it at the end of the year?
Calendar year.
Calendar year. So every month you put some money in. I need to explain. The reason that's important, if there's two ways to do it. In the system depreciation that you're doing, you wait till the end of the year and see what you have left over. And I just wondered, how do you accumulate that $1,030,000?
That's on the bond, right?
I'm talking about the bond.
We make monthly payments into a trust account. And then semi-annually, every 6 months, we make an interest payment. And once a year in December, we make the principal payment. And that amount, that $1 million of the principal and interest, just call that debt service altogether, is what we will continue to use, nearly $1 million, to pay off this loan.
Well, can we say that in the note? I guess my concern is we're taking $1.5 million out of Chapter 3 to pay off one loan to the Water and Sewer Fund we haven't done. And I think if we put in here what Ms. Abney says, I'll feel much better. Then it's an obligation that we do it.
Okay. Again, if we could pass it on first reading, we can get with the city attorney for the wording in the note terms. and have that on second reading.
I would appreciate it if you could write this issue in a narrative form for me. And what I mean by that is we are borrowing $3,840,000 from the general fund to the water tank and the water meters, and then tell me where we're going to get the money to pay that loan off with the $996,000, I guess, that we're, is that?
$998,084 in 15-16. The payment next budget year will be $46,084.
$46,084 will be next year, 14-15, yes.
Right.
And then in the year after, where is that money going to come from?
It's the former bond payment. It would go to the interfund loan payment instead.
So then I think I want to piggyback on Reggie's question. Are we going to set that money aside every month in an accrual fund so that we guarantee that payment's going to be made?
We could do it however council would like it structured. That's fine.
Well, she's putting it, it's not she. If the past procedures has been accumulated per month,
then we
ought to make this a monthly payment each month.
Yeah, we can set up a special holding, and we give you that special holding report. You know, we give you the special holding.
No, just pay it once a month out of cash.
Well, I mean, we can do it anyway. That's fine. We can either accumulate it, pay it every month, and put it in the trust account, and pay it semi-annually, or we just pay it every month at whatever council
decides.
Well,
but the thing is, you've got an interest on here that you're trying one plus the, what is it, GPI?
It's the local government investment pool. It's at 137 basis points.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, why not just pay a monthly note just like a mortgage?
We can.
I mean, there's no use to collect it and pay interest all year on that money. Just pay it as a monthly mortgage note.
Pay as you go to contain the interest. Is that the thought?
Yes. Yeah.
We could do that.
And then I'd like to know how we would be able to monitor that payment.
Okay. It'll be online in the expenditures item. We give you the citation for it.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. We don't need to go back to the $1.5 million loan from 2009 that we...
Right. You don't want it open-ended. You don't want it like the $328,000. You don't want it like the $1.5 million. You want a regular payment that shows that we're on...
The city ought to pay its bills.
On script to pay its bills. That's right. We pay our bill. So, Mr. Homoki, Mr. Kavanaugh, is that okay? Mayor Kavanaugh, is all right there?
So I think working with Ms. Abney is pretty easy to do. We just pay it as a monthly mortgage based on $1,030,124 every month till it's paid off.
Well, that's not the way we've got the payment set up.
I know that's not in here, but I think that's what we need to do. That way it's guaranteed we pay it once a month, and it'll pay off in about 4 years.
Okay, we were trying to keep it right in the range of $1 million just in case we had a need for money for other items.
Well, you know, then that's
we went through in the workshop. I mean, you're talking about $30,000. But again, with what everything George
went
over...
Well, make it $1 million. I mean, if that's the difference, if you want the $30,000, make it $1 million divided by 12 on a monthly payment. My concern is just what you said. We need to dedicated the money to the bond. We never missed a bond payment. Let's don't miss a payment back on this.
And that's fine.
If you want to make it an even million divided by 12, I'm okay with that too. I mean, $30,000 in 5 years or 4 years is not that much.
Right. You'd be surprised how sometimes $30,000 makes all the difference.
Well, and this sheet, by the way, shows us you're asking for this money April 1st. And that's this fiscal year. That's fiscal year 2013 and 14.
The actual date of the note is April 30th. So we can change the date to...
Well, when are you going to take the money?
Well, we haven't passed the ordinance yet,
okay.
So... We can change the date to May 2nd.
And all I'm saying is this handout,
12th, excuse me, May
12th. Page 181 says that we're going to have that loan in the next fiscal year, which doesn't start till July 1st. And if we take
well,
the
no,
money...
Well, no, sir, it shows a payment on the loan. I'm sorry, yes, we have to finish paying off the bond.
Yeah, but you're going to borrow the money as you spend it.
Exactly.
I think we need to put all of that in there so that 5 years from now somebody doesn't come back and say, goodness, that city council didn't pay their debt.
I'm sure that won't be said.
Very good. But again, we're taking the money out this fiscal year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what that
Some
sheet
of
shows.
It, whatever we need. Not all of it, just whatever we need.
So, yeah, but it doesn't show us taking any of that.
We're supposed to spend all the money in the fund and then borrow the money.
I understand. But just the first time we see the $3,840,000 is next fiscal year.
It's July 1st.
July 1st. But we're giving the money now.
It's supposed to use
no,
it.
No, the interfund loan shows $2,873,000 this budget year.
See, we got three interfund loans on this chart, which is that's a balance of debt interfund loan. That's a debt service interfund loan. That's a capital expense interfund loan. So, okay, so now what are we saying? We're borrowing $2,873,000.
Of the total 384,300.
Of the 384, and if I add that 967,300 next to it, that'll all come out to 384.
Close.
It's close.
Well, wouldn't it help if you just made it two loans, make one for the 2873, and then the other one, so you don't get confused on which year it's coming out. Just take the 2.8 this year. We're starting this year. And then
well, then we're going to have to do a separate ordinance. And I mean, we've got the debt identified. We're not going to pay interest on it or take the money out until we need it.
Well, but I think it's more understandable that way, though.
It's helpful to us if we can go ahead and get the approval so we know we can expend the additional $967,000.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to keep the project on track.
We're borrowing $2,873,000 this fiscal year.
Right. $967,300 next year to finish out the project.
That's right. And then next year, of that entire amount, we're only going to spend $46,084 against that loan.
We're going to pay back
$46,084.
That's the interest.
That's interest.
Right.
And the principal payment is debt service expense.
That'll start in 2015-16.
So we're not going to make any payments for a whole fiscal year.
We'll make an interest payment next year.
I know. I thought we just said we were going to make a monthly mortgage payment.
Well, we'll have the money available to do that starting in 2015-16.
All right, January of 2015, we'll start making a monthly payment against it.
Well, actually, 2015, you said January 2015-16, we could do it in July of 2015, the monthly payment, you said.
I thought we paid off the $1 million December 31st of this year, 2014.
Of 2014?
Yeah.
Right. But then I've spent the money out of the utility fund that year. I need to get into the next budget year to make the payment. So July 1 is when the money would be available. Remember, I've made the bond payment, so I'm spent. But I need to get in the new budget year to have the money come in that I don't have to make the bond payment against. I can make the interfund loan payment.
I thought Ms. Abney just said she was accumulated on a monthly basis.
Yes, sir. But we still have to make the bond payment, and again, we're converting the bond payment to the interfund loan payment.
I think
when I make the bond payment in December of this year, then I've spent that money. It's not available to make monthly payments in January, February, March, April, May, or June. Okay. It'll be available in July of 2015.
And we absolutely have to borrow this far in advance.
There's something. Our confusion is based around fiscal year and calendar year.
Yes, sir. The calendar year is just the payment history that we've done. We're going to make that bond payment, the semi-annual payment, in December of 2014.
And where did that
so that's in the budget year. where I have that money committed for a payment. I don't have money again to make a payment until July 1 of 2015.
Well, where's the money going to come from for that payment? It's got to be accumulated in...
Well, we're going to divide it up monthly, we said.
And but we can pay it monthly also.
Starting in July 2015.
Have Ms. Adams do a mortgage payout for us. There's a simple program. Just run it out and start it and do that for us.
In July of 2015, starting the monthly
payment? Well, however she's doing it now.
That's the way it's set up.
Okay. Then have her just send that one or two sheets of paper, how it's being done now.
We'll have that for second reading, absolutely.
Now, send it before the second reading. I mean,
yes,
we ought to be able to do it by the end of the week.
Do we have a motion in second?
We do.
We have a motion in a second. Okay. Is the discussion over? Show of hands, all in favor? Okay. Okay, opposed?
Two. I just don't understand it. Sorry.
Wait a minute.
There's three opposed.
We got to see the numbers.
I was up.
We're not on the same wavelength.
We've got two that are opposed. Who's the third?
Three opposed.
I'm opposed to this.
Lessie and Dick and Reggie were opposed.
Okay.
So it passes. And it would help to send this out before, you know, by the end of the week, what you're going to do so we can discuss it.
And Mr. Edward, we'll do our best. We're trying to get the budget done. We've got several items we're working on. I'm not sure I can promise it by Friday. We'll get it as quickly as we can.
Since we got 3 weeks between meetings, let's do it a week from Friday. I'd like it to have it before the Thursday because it gets it very short to discuss it. I think if Ms. Adams sends us that like a mortgage spend-out sheet, it'll answer our questions.
Okay, because I've got the next meeting is in 2 weeks, May 12th.
Is that 2 weeks from now?
Yes, sir. We don't have 3 weeks. I mean, again, I want to accommodate council, but I need to finish the budget because we finished our workshop.
All right. Well, if we don't have the information, just send us that information and we can go from there.
Put a meeting on the 12th,
right? May 12th, yeah.
Or defer it till the June meeting.
Yep.
All right. Item A, first reading of an ordinance for the sale of 1407 Aldrich Street, Crossland Park.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to convey certain real property in the Crossland Park subdivision at 1407 Aldrich Street Northeast to Margie Stephanie McFadden. The purchase price is $70,000, and we are providing a very small concrete patio at the back of the house as part of the purchase.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move. Second, Smith.
Okay. Discussion?
Do we know how much we're losing on this property?
As far as what
that's
we
have. That's it. Put it that way.
Yeah. I think we had it's about $100,000 in the property, is my understanding.
That's about right. Yep.
And I'm sorry, Ms. Diggs, you made the motion, and who seconded it? Ms. Price. Good. Thank you.
I think we're losing $3.84 million. Never mind.
Haven't you had enough of $3.84 million? You want to answer the bank?
No, but that's a good question because I have the same question. What's the difference between what the investment was? And
we've got a motion actually appraised for $68,500, and we've got a purchase price for cash at $70,000.
Got a motion and second for this?
Yes, we have.
Okay, show of hands, all in favor. Passes. Item 9, first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 911 Murrah Avenue and zone at RS-10, residential single family.
I have something to say about me.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, come on up.
And Mayor, while he's walking up, I do need to read the ordinance into the record. It's an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken property consisting of 0.69 acres of land, more or less owned by the City of Aiken, and is zoned the same residential single-family RS-10. This is the property that we purchased a couple of months ago, and it connects into the Aiken Mall. This will connect Christie Place to the public shopping center.
Okay, yeah.
My main concern is the traffic when it between the existing Christie Road there now, when it backs up right there and can't get on Daughtry or nothing, it's got to come down Spalding to get out of the neighborhood somewhere. And I live on the far end of that street. I just don't want the traffic down there. I don't want the confusion or whatever it's down there.
I understand, sir. Again, as part of the Daugherty Road master plan that was mentioned earlier in the meeting, the idea is to connect Christie Place into the public center. Certainly understand your concern. We're going to do the best we can to buffer the Christie Place property as best we can.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
I'll move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes. No. Okay, petitions and requests.
Yeah, the last item for a vote tonight is typically you have not met on Memorial Day, which is a holiday. So that means we would have the meeting on May 12 and not have the Memorial Day meeting. If something came up, we could certainly schedule another meeting date.
Okay. Do we need a motion second?
Yeah, I'll move. We cancel a second meeting.
Okay, who seconded it?
I did.
All right. Mm-hmm. Show of hands. And all in favor? Passes.
And we will publish notice. Mayor, Mr. DeWar actually brought to my attention, we had in the issues and updates memo a proposed work session Thursday at 5 to talk about the revenue and salaries for the budget. And again, we're going to schedule a work session, as I said last Thursday, on May 12, not May 1st, because that would conflict with the arts meeting. There won't be a meeting this week, May 1st. It'll be rescheduled for May 12.
Work session prior to the council?
May 12th.
That sounds helpful.
Okay. What time's convenient for council? It would be helpful if we could schedule it at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
To provide ample time.
Certainly. It would be much better for me.
What's the purpose again?
That's to talk about the salaries and projected revenue under the budget.
One of the questions we had asked a couple of years ago is if we do have anybody that's below the poverty level, we need to know that. And that's
we'll take another look. I think we addressed that when we made the salary adjustment last year.
I think we did.
But it's double check.
Pretty easy. They can use the W-2s or whatever to see how many deductions and stuff to determine, you know, the family sizes.
I have a couple of quickies, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I understand the volunteer firefighters are not invited to the volunteer luncheon.
So this is the board's committees and commission luncheon, not the volunteer.
So they will then be invited, hopefully, to our December meeting, or
we'd love to have them come to the December breakfast.
Yes.
They usually do.
Yeah. Okay. We're happy to have them come.
That's
to
right.
That.
Yeah. This memo that Sandy Harris mentioned, she's absolutely correct. We, and I think it was Councilwoman Price, suggested that we tell the arts about the concern that people had, but we never gave it to the arts. So I think we really need to email it to the arts, and if you want to give me a copy, I will mention it to them. But we never.
You have a copy?
She gave me her copy. It's November 11th, 2013, and it was.
We didn't meet in February, is the reason why they don't have it.
It was one we all signed and I voted against, but.
She left a copy.
To be fair.
You got a copy of that?
There it is.
Sir? Oh, you've got a copy.
Yeah, we need to deliver that to arts, Mr. Mayor.
Well, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we promised to do that.
Can you check, sir, to find out where the original is? Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Last council meeting, I asked about the Kendrick sign, and I know the chamber had an event there.
They did have an event there, and our planning director did have, and his staff had a conversation with Kendrick's. They can make an application to the Board of Zoning Appeals for a variance to place the sign. Ed, where are we with that process? Have they made an application? Yeah, so they just need to make an application.
As long as they know that, And you were going to get me the name of the lady, you or George, that called, that owned the trailer court, was having water meter problems.
Yeah, that's my omission. I got it.
Yeah. I just hate not to call her back, and I dumped her telephone number.
I apologize, Mr. DeWar. There's been a lot going on.
I know it. And you're going to send me the ordinance regarding commercial vehicles in residential area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Question I had today about new water hookups. If somebody is leaving town and they've sold the house and they, what's the procedure for getting the water off of the cellar and onto the buyer?
Well, I'm sure Miss Abney would be glad to tell you.
I knew she would be able to.
The seller wanting to get it out of their name can either call us or go online and fill out an online turn on, turn off service request.
Okay.
And then the new person could do the same thing. Call us or go online and do the turn on service.
Okay, so the new person doesn't have to wait for somebody to show up at the house and...
They're going to have to sign a waiver or be present when we come to turn the water on. Yes, sir. But they can sign the waiver online as well.
Okay.
If they're coming from out of town and they're not going to be here till Saturday or Sunday, but they want the water on Friday, they'll have to sign that waiver stating that everything's going to be off in the home.
Okay. Thank you. And my last item, is Bridlewood in the city? I honestly don't know.
What is
Bridlewood? It's off of Evans Road.
There's a portion of it in the city. Ed, do you remember? Ed could run and look. He's got
the
map right.
Bridlewood and Evans. The reason I mention that is my understanding is that the county contractor is through picking up debris. And there's a bunch of debris in Aiken Estates. It may not be our issue, but it's there, and it's heavy debris.
Well, and again, as far as towns like North and Aiken Estates, as we put out today, we're trying to get back on the regular schedule. Were we supposed to be in Hams Lake North Thursday, Tim?
Definitely by Thursday.
So as far as what's in the city,
yes,
we'll be picking that up this week. I'll be glad to let, and really it was SCDOT's contractor, Coxwell, that picked up the state roads that are in Aiken Estates.
So they're gone, I understand.
That's what we were told, but it's an odd thing that you bring this up, Mr. DeWar, because if I'm not mistaken, it was Saturday morning, and what appeared to be a Coxwell trailer was at Longwood in Evans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but they did not pick up on Evans, and they did not pick up... I didn't see the pile at Bridlewood. There's a new pile on Evans near Bridlewood.
Yeah.
That yard, they finally moved that stuff to the curb. But anyway, I'll be glad to follow up with our friends at SCDOT to let them know that there's more business.
Yeah, that should be
contractor.
A county contractor. I don't know what's happening.
Actually, that was the whole thing that we were discussing a month ago with DOT and the county, and it turns out it's actually a DOT responsibility, not the county. Because those are state roads.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. And again, it's not the city thing, but it's still a mess in the city, and if the county needs a... Well, okay.
It's actually a state road issue.
It is a state road, but forgetting Operation PAX, forgetting Operation PAX, you only have to get rid of it themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'm done.
We're on the updates. On the Newberry utility now, that includes the wires going past Smitty's down into the middle of Lawrence also. Remember, we went over that a couple of years ago to remove that, put that power line underground. And
Right. We've looked at that now. The poles are down on Newberry Street. They've already been
taken this
down.
Is right out here in front
of
Smitty's.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Right.
And that was part of it, and
right.
We have some of our good businesses keep stringing more wires, so they do,
and we actually will have a concept. We have architect Tim Scott working on improvements to the alley, as we've done B Lane, so we can do the alley. And we've got 1 cent sales tax money, and we also have the franchise undergrounding funds from SEEG, so we're going to be bringing that to council in the next month or so.
Well, how much is left? But there was $800,000 at one time.
Oh, no, there's a good bit of money in there.
Now, what about the transformer right beside this building? Did we put it in the lease lease space to... A space so we get the most utility out of this land.
Right, you want it inconspicuous.
Well, we need it where we get the most value for the land.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I agree. But I think I had a conversation recently with Cam, and I think we need to look at all options, if there's any other options to putting on that land. And there may not be. But
probably not.
Well, and if there is, then where on that land?
Well,
because of the potential for its uses for something else.
Right, and that's a discussion we'll have with SEEG
tonight. Now, if we run high voltage conduit right around the corner of the building, it says SEEG going to let us build on top of it.
Well, that's a good question.
Typically, they don't unless it's a power feed to a building. Mm-hmm. Right now, it shows to go come over here, go right beside, I may be off a quarter of a building, go beside the building and put the transformer by the old raggedy building and go out to the street. And I think that's a high-voltage feeder, and I asked SEEG, and I don't think they'll let you build on top of that.
Right. That's why I think we need to stop and take a look at it.
Okay.
I mean, there's... And, I don't know the process or the opportunity to do that, but I think before we just let it happen, we need to take a look at it.
No, we'll be bringing that to council. Again, we're working on the concept design, and we're doing that along with SEE.
And so that'll have a transformer location and routing of the conduit?
It will.
And I think Mike Jordan can probably tell you that right off of his cuff, whether that's allowed or not. And I think so that would be good to do that. I'd mentioned at the PRT meeting about the money for the railroad stuff.
Yes, sir, we're looking at that.
And I talked to Tim Simmons. Do you want he and I to bring that proposal to you, or how do we want to put that in the budget to get some money dedicated to that out of the accommodations tax? Or is it feasible to do that?
Well, again, we were looking at a multi-year. I think I had approximately $70,000 in this year's budget for the depot. And as far as trying to up that amount, that's what I'm having to take a look at, balancing everything else.
Well, but you're going to give us all of that money to take. You're going to tell us how all that money, what you want to do with all of that money.
Well, it comes from staff and me.
I know, but it's our call, and we're going to get to see that. And
get to set the budget right. That'll be, the fund is 007, yep. And it'll show the revenue and the proposed distribution.
In January of 11, the estimate on just the deck was $90,000.
Is that right? Was that the track deck or the wood deck?
That's the track. If you use wood, it's going to shrink, and the ladies' high heels will stick in it. We discussed that with Mike Jordan. You can use wood every place else, but if you put it on there, you can't get the wood tight enough, and it'll leave a quarter inch to a 3/8 gap. Lady's heel will stick in it.
So that was the trek. Did you have a question?
Yeah, it adds about $30,000 to the cost for the trek, so $35,000. So does Tim and I need to do something to get that moving?
He probably has like the Friends of the Railroad Depot station there. If he wanted to just put it in writing, that'd be good.
I'll get with Tim. I talked to him tonight, and I think that would be one good phase, because then that would put the handicap ramp in and everything but the baggage building. And the baggage building is a 2011 escalated for 4 years was $160,000.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll work with Tim on that.
And that's fine with me. I'll be glad to sit down with you however you want to do it.
Just we have an update on Mellow Mushroom, by the way.
Oh, that was going to be my question next door. What is the status of the...
My understanding is that the legal issues have been resolved and that they're going to be scheduling a closing. But I don't have any confirmation that the closing where they've signed the actual documents has taken place.
I heard
one of the issues
was in the lawyer's.
I heard exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
I heard exactly the same thing.
Was one of the issues with the space, the open space on the corner?
Yes,
okay. They resolved that.
Okay,
yes. My understanding that was resolved at the Bush.
That was the part that was slow.
Yeah.
The second item deals with median as it relates to Waterloo if you're headed east, on Richland Avenue. But if we can talk with SCEMG about putting underground services in that corridor in the downtown area, starting with Waterloo probably until you get to Union Street or wherever in terms of the underground. I get a lot of concerns about the overgrowth in that area and how we've got planning that is overly grown. And I know that one of the reasons probably is because we have those wiring and we don't want it exposed. The trees tend to hide the poles and the overhead. So if we can get an estimate in terms of what it would cost for the underground services, that would be...
Waterloo between where and where?
Waterloo begins where Lomax Drug is. Start with Lomax. You start your underground wiring all the way into... Let's say until you get to Marlboro Street, what it would cost for that short distance for SCEMG to provide underground services, utility services.
On Richland?
On Richland,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
On Richland Avenue.
Waterloo to Marlboro?
Mm-hmm. And it may not go that far. I don't know. I'm trying to help to improve the appearance of our median with not so much overgrown
okay.
planning that we have.
We can
there.
Take a look at it. I know, like, at Newberry and Richland, you've got a major transmission line
right.
there, and that's they're not the one to ground back,
right.
but we can look at the others.
Okay.
Okay, is that it?
We're adjourned.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
First time walk. That's my ass forward. 3.8 is Richard Barr. And when you go, it's goddamn loud. He's going to make the money and use it for something else before he takes once at the damn market.
Yeah. You got